All right, Kevin, while I was out on leave, I understand that you got arrested and did some time in jail for armed robbery of a carjacking or something. What happened?
No, that didn't happen. This is actually, oddly enough, last week, Bean, while I was sick. Last week I was sick Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And Tuesday night I went to get an IV to get more fluids in my body because I'd been throwing up like a crazy person.
Yeah.
For about 48 hours.
Yeah, you've already given us plenty of details about the voluminous vomit. Yes, okay. So we're fine. We got that.
But I mean, it wasn't just the upper spigot.
No, understood.
Oh, yeah. God.
We need more info on that.
Yeah. No, we got it. Okay. We got it.
So I called my doctor. I called my doctor and I said,
so
hey.
The sprinkler was hitting the whole yard.
Correct, yes.
Okay, understood.
So I called my doctor and I say, hey, is there some kind of a stopper or a plug that I can get? And he tells me what to get. So I get in my car and I feel very weak. You can already see I'm defending myself.
Mm-hmm. And, can we just stop for 1 second and imagine, are you going to the hardware store? Like, where did the doctor send you to get a plug? What's happening here?
A figurative plug to stop things from happening.
Medicine?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
And a plug if needed. I didn't care. I just needed it to stop. So I go to CVS Drugs and I park and I go inside and I wander around and I sort of forget why I'm there. I was really sort of out of it. Again, already making an excuse. And
does anybody have any Imodium? It's an emergency for Kevin.
So I get what I'm looking for and I walk out into the parking lot and I get my car and I sit back. And you know how sometimes... Do you have the electric seats, Bean?
Mm-hmm.
And you have it set on a setting, and sometimes when you turn off the car, it'll move forward. Does that happen to you?
I mean, I guess. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it does shift a little, yeah.
Okay, so I get in my car, and my seat is a little more than that forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is weird. Why did my seat go forward?
Yeah.
Doesn't even make any sense. But then I just put my head back and I was like, okay, listen, all you got to do, get your seat back in the right position and just drive home and take all of the medicine that you have at once and then hope things get better.
Sure.
So then I looked to the passenger seat and there was
a baby.
There was a bear.
It was a child seat.
No!
Oh, Allie was kidding!
There was a child seat, in the passenger seat, but in the back right seat.
Oh, no.
And then I was thinking really slowly, clearly, mm-hmm. and then I was like...
You're fuzzy. You're all hopped up on stuff.
And I was like, wait, do I have a car seat? No.
Okay.
And I look around. There's like a brush in the front. I'm like, this isn't my car.
Okay.
And this has happened to me before.
A couple times.
What's up with that?
Right.
So I get in the car, and then as it sort of comes over me like, oh, you're not in your car, I feel like I'm a crook and I have to get out of the car immediately.
Sure.
I can't get out quick enough. And I forget my medicine, and then I have to go back in and get the medicine. I'm looking around the lot to see if anybody's seeing me.
Yeah, because the first thing they're going to think is you are trying to steal this car.
Right, and they're going to call the police. I'm
going to
get arrested.
Which is exactly what you'd think if you came out of a store and you saw somebody sitting in your car.
What if some dude's in my car?
Right.
I'd go cry. That would drive me crazy.
Right, using your brush.
And car seat. So I got out of the car as quickly as I could, and I went and I got in my car, which was two cars over. Now, it was the same make and model.
Uh-huh.
It was a Ford Explorer.
Okay.
And it was also black.
Sure.
Does that get me off the hook?
No, it doesn't, but it does help. It does help. It's not like you got into a bright yellow Mustang or something
like that.
I mean, at least it was the same car. But it's weird to me in 2018 in the parking lot of a drugstore that person left their car unlocked.
Yeah.
That's how you were able to get into their car unlocked, which surprises me.
Yeah.
So I think they were asking for you, man.
That's on them.
Wow.
It is kind of on them. But look, if you don't want somebody sitting in your
car,
great. Lock your car.
I was thinking it was my bad.
No, you're in the right.
It is your bad.
No, Kevin's in the right. I got his back. I got his back on this one.
Thank you. Now, this has happened to you guys, right?
Never.
Once. Not once.
No.
Once.
One time.
Never.
Chip?
Never.
Allie?
No.
Once.
How about you? How many?
I think that makes
4.
Oh, Kevin. Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
Kevin.
We remember the valet. We remember the valet.
But in my defense, the valet gave me the keys and said, this is your car. Remember? Right. And I had bought it the day before, so I was like, all right. I don't know what I bought.
I'll give you a little bit of pass for that one.
Okay. So that's two.
What about the other ones?
They were further back, but I just remember I can't get the feeling out of my head of somebody's going to think I'm trying to steal this car,
right.
A.
Right.
And then B, what the F is wrong with me?
How many Ubers would you say you've gotten
two.
In? Okay, that weren't
That's
yours.
Just in the last month, though, Kevin.
Weren't even Uber cars.
Two cars that okay. I thought were my Uber, and I opened the back door, and I said, Uber?
Mm-hmm.
And one guy said no, so I didn't get in. And then another girl didn't say anything, so I started getting in, and she tore out.
Yeah.
So this seems to be happening more than for most. But do you have friends who have done it?
Nope.
None times. Mm-mm.
Bean?
Yeah, none times. Look, I'm just going to say again, in Kevin's defense, if you don't want Kevin in your car, don't open the door and don't ever unlock it.
I think that's good advice. Keep listening for Sublime, any song from Sublime between now and 8 a.m. When you hear it, be caller 20 and you will win a pair of two-day passes to Back to the Beach at Huntington State Beach, April 28th and 29th. Stryker is sitting in with us this week. Nice enough to come in.
Thanks for having me.
Hang out?
Yeah.
Sure. You said that before you came in, I think on Sunday, you said that you were Ambien talking.
I was.
What? Explain that.
Okay, well.
Because Ambien's a sleeping drug that does really weird things to people.
It does very weird things to you if you don't follow the rules of taking Ambien, in my opinion. And the rules are, when you take it, within about 10 minutes, you got to turn off your computer.
Okay.
Turn off the TV, turn off the lights, get the phone out of the bed.
Right.
And get in a comfortable position, because it's not mind over matter. You may think you're awake, but then all of a sudden you're sleeping, and if your eyes are open, Dr. Drew could probably explain the medical side, but it's almost like being a blackout drunk. Mm-hmm. So, the other night, yes, I was just talking, but more recently I have a better story of just talking nonsense to my wife, and this is what happened. I took the Ambien because I had to get up super early. It was very late. I haven't been sleeping very much, and I did follow all my rules. But 6 minutes after I took the pill, I realized I forgot to email this guy about something very important with the show.
No.
And you know you're on a timer?
Right. So I'm like, I've got this. I feel good. Well, sometime between the time I put my foot out of the bed on the carpet to grabbing the laptop and bringing it back in the bed, I fell asleep.
Oh, what?
So I opened
the
laptop.
I thought you were going to say you fell asleep.
I fell asleep, but your mind is still, your eyes are open, but you're like, you are somewhere else.
Okay.
So I was doing work on the computer. Oh. I was going crazy. After about 30 minutes on the computer, I start walking around my house with the laptop, and my wife, who was in the other room, because she didn't want to go to bed at 9 p.m. that night.
Right.
She didn't seem, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm playing baseball. She's like, what? She's like, I'm playing baseball.
Holding a computer.
She's like, what do you mean you're playing baseball on the computer? She took the computer. I was not playing baseball.
Right. Mm.
I spent 35 minutes on the computer applying to college at the University of Phoenix.
That's pretty strong. Were you accepted?
No!
No, that's ridiculous. How could they not accept you?
Were you trying to play baseball at the University of Phoenix?
I don't know what it was.
Oh, that's magic.
But one of my go-tos when I'm talking, as my wife Katie tells me, is I'm playing baseball often I talk about, and,
okay.
I'm on a boat.
Did you play baseball, and are you on a boat?
I enjoy boats, but they're not in my necessarily top 30 things of liking
in life.
So
that's weird that that's the stuff you bring up when you're on Ambien.
Right, yeah, but baseball, I loved playing baseball as a kid, but I don't know why that. I don't know.
That's bizarre.
But I was applying to college.
That's crazy.
Yes.
We're talking about blaming on the Ambien. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. This is Sean Penn when he went on Stephen Colbert.
I'm doing well. You've inherited a little of the Ambien I had to take to get to sleep after a red eye last night. But
so, in other words, you're still a little bit on the Ambien train right now.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, the Ambien train is, I stopped taking Ambien after one time. This is the last time I took it. I couldn't sleep. I have a lot of problems sleeping. So I hadn't slept for 3 or 4 days, and I was like, I really need to take a nap during the day. This is important. I am going to set aside some time. I didn't know all the rules. I didn't know all the Ambien rules, Stryker, that you have to put away your phone and all that stuff. So I was eating lunch after I took the Ambien. And I went to take a nap. I take a nap. I fall asleep. And I'm like, this is fantastic. I woke up and I opened my eyes and I saw strawberry ice cream on the wall.
Like a murder scene.
It was, and it wasn't just like a tiny dot. It was strawberry ice cream on the wall.
You were painting
that? Right. So then I sort of wake up a little bit. I'm trying to figure out, why is there strawberry ice cream on the wall? And I look around the room, and it's on all the walls. Four walls. First of all, how do I have that much ice cream? Second of all, what could I possibly be doing? Like, why would it be on the wall? I can't figure out. Was I throwing it? Was I putting a paintbrush in it and paint? What? I don't understand. And then I realized it was on the ceiling as well.
Oh,
how is that possible? Like, I don't even understand how a drug could do that to me. But that happened, and that's the very last time I took Ambien because of the strawberry ice cream incident.
Oh, God.
It's very scary.
It is.
I mean, you hear stories about people that get up and drive, like sleep drive and go places and stuff like that.
You have to follow those rules.
I did.
No, you didn't.
You're right.
Kevin, I have an idea.
At
Coachella,
we
should get in the same room together.
No.
After the night, get in the same bed, and let's play a game. Who can fall? Who can stay awake the longest after taking Ambien and film it and see what we do?
Oh, the Ambien challenge, sure.
Yeah, let's do that.
No.
I say yes.
Yes.
But I have friends that fight the Ambien.
That's what they call it.
And that was like their fun night out. Like, let's fight the Ambien.
How's that your fun night out?
It's not good.
No,
it isn't. Not good.
Now, it doesn't react in everyone that way, but if you've got a story of Ambien made you do it,
please call us.
We're going to take your calls your texts at 1-800-520-1067. Now, just ahead of the Foo Fighters, let's take one call. It's Veronica in Whittier. Hi, Veronica.
Hello.
What happened with the Ambien and you?
Oh, well, I was on a weekend trip to Santa Barbara, and my girlfriend, we had gone out and drank the night before and woke up, and I had this terrible headache, and she was getting in the shower. She goes, oh, I have some aspirin on the counter. Well, I didn't have my glasses on, and I'm not familiar with the shape of pills, and I took two sleeping pills.
Two Ambien, good.
Oh, wow.
She comes out of the shower literally within, 10 minutes. I was just acting so weird. I was just like, huh? What? And she was like, what is wrong with you?
Right.
Come on, we got to go. We got to go. I'm walking down the stairs, just barely holding on. And the trees were dancing and moving. And I was just like, whoa, isn't it cool the way the trees move here? This is so cool. Then I ordered poached eggs, and they were literally wiggling and dancing. I remember it. There was music in the background. And she's yelling at me the whole time. It's her business trip. What is wrong with you? Like, don't embarrass me, girlfriend. We're going sailing. What's wrong with you? What did you take, goddammit?
And you said it's not my fault the trees are dancing?
Dude, I said, isn't it neat the way the eggs move with the trees and the people? It was just like a Beatles love kind of thing. It was just a trip.
Well, it doesn't sound terrible for you, but it's not necessarily good for her. Thank you for the call, Veronica. We appreciate it. We'll take your calls and or text 1-800-520-1067 next. We're talking about Blame It on the Ambien.
Ambien.
All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. Let's start with Devin, who is calling us from Whittier. Hi, Devin.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Devin.
Good morning.
I was helping a brother move in Oregon. Saw some Ambien during the move. 60% of me heard the stories, wanted to try it. 40% of me wanted to sleep.
Right.
Took the Ambien, was on the phone saying goodnight to my girlfriend on an air mattress on the phone. Looked over, saw some Keebler elves jumping out of one of the movies.
All right.
Yes.
That's so good.
Walking to the foot of my bed was an extravagant cookie-making factory. Pumping out EL fudges. And I was telling everything to my girlfriend. And... next morning we spoke. She told me all about what I said, and that was kind of crazy. Keebler Elf Factory.
That's pretty cool.
That is good, Devin.
That's pretty cool. Yep. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Thank you, Devin. All right. Let's see. Let's go to line five. Let's go to Alexis in Long Beach. Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. We are good. How are you?
Great. Well, my blame it on the Ambien story happened at my best friend's house. We were hanging out, and she was like, hey, do you want to try this whole Ambien thing? It's kind of trippy. And, you know, we're in our 20s. So we're like, heck yeah, let's, you know, have some fun. Her boyfriend's there, too. Uh-oh. Well, we end up having a threesome with her boyfriend.
I'm sorry.
I didn't find out until, like, 2 months later.
How does that go unspoken for 2 months?
So I came back over, and she was like, hey, I'm going to hop in the shower. Feel free to join. And me being kind of shy, I was like, oh, no, it's all right. I'll stand outside while we talk. And she said, what are you talking about? We did that last time. And that's how I found out we all had a threesome.
Oh, wow.
I mean, come on. How was it?
Apparently, it was really fun. Yeah. I should remember bits and pieces, but that Ambien, be careful.
Yeah, be careful indeed. Thank you, Alexis. We appreciate the call. All right, let's go to Rachel in Claremont. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. I can't believe I have to follow the threesome story.
Right? I mean, it doesn't get much better or worse than that, depending on what you wanted.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't eat meat. I haven't eaten meat in like 20 years. I took some Ambien, and I woke up in the morning, and there was a literal pile of hot dogs in my microwave.
A pile of hot dogs?
Oh, my.
A pile of hot dogs. I have no idea. I still don't know. I wouldn't buy hot dogs. I haven't had one since I was like 8, but there they were, just sitting in my. I was mad about it at first. I thought, who would do this to me? I'm pretty sure it was me.
Wow.
You went out and you bought the hot dogs.
Were the hot dogs in your house, or did you go buy them?
No.
Oh,
no,
my
God. No, I never buy hot dogs. So I thought maybe I got them from the neighbors. So I didn't really talk to them. I can't imagine that I would go out and buy hot dogs.
Oh, I hope you got them from the neighbors.
Right?
Right? Her neighbors are like, she just rang the doorbell at like 8 for hot dogs. Right.
She was she asked for 3 dozen. What kind of party is she having? All right.
It was bad. It was really, really weird. So I don't take those anymore.
Yeah, that's my advice as well. Thank you, Rachel, for the call. We appreciate that.
I do love that her initial response was, who would do this to me?
She's super angry.
Hot dogs in my microwave.
They know I don't eat meat. Gary in Fullerton, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. Blame it on the Ambien. What happened?
Yeah, my wife flew to Vegas, and I was going to drive the next morning to meet her in Las Vegas. So I took an Ambien, and apparently I drove over to my mother-in-law's house, knocked on her door, mooned her, and then drove off.
Oh, my God.
And you have no memory of that? That's just from
I have no memory, and how I know is she called me in the morning and said, were you drunk last night? And I'm like, no, and I told her the whole story, and she's like, you're such an idiot. Yeah, wow. So I drove over there and mooned her.
Did she say pretty sweet ass?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right, this is blowing my mind, guys, because he looks like the dude, but he doesn't sound like the dude. Am I right about that? He is actor Ben Robson. Ladies and gentlemen, he is Craig Cody on Animal Kingdom, which airs Tuesday nights and TNT 9 o'clock. Ben, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for having me. How are you?
Of course. That accent on the show, that California accent, difficult to do?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I mean, I've been living here now on and off for 9 years, so I feel like I've got a sense of hearing it a lot more now. But yeah, it started off maybe a bit tricky, but it's when you've got a whole crew who are from Cali, it makes it a lot easier. They kind of correct you.
Yes, I was going to ask if you had somebody on set that helps you with that.
Pretty much every single person.
Okay.
We have always heard, and you can tell me if it's true because you've been acting a long time, that Brits are way better at doing American accents than in reverse.
Do you know what? I mean, I remember hearing this really funny story. My sister used to work in casting back home, and this director rang up like really, really upset. He was like, look, this is why I didn't want to get English people to do American accents. And she's like, well, you know, which tape in particular has upset you? And then, you know, names the actor. And then my sister sort of then speaks to the guy and is like, it's quite funny because he's actually American.
Oh, what a dick.
That's awesome.
It was kind of a funny.
I like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Are there any specific words that you're like, I just can't not say it in a British accent?
Yes, girlfriend. But I'm not sure if that was because I had so many issues with the idea of having one or the fact that I couldn't say it in American.
That was a deep dive right with one word.
Is it too early for that? Yeah. Hit me
we
right
saw
in my weak spot.
Ben's brain there. So it looks like, for folks who don't know, by the way, how do you describe Animal Kingdom when you're sitting on a plane next to somebody and they say, oh, what do you do? How do you, what's your elevator pitch on how to describe this show?
Well, that depends if I'm on the plane and they're watching it as it goes on with everyone being half naked the whole time. But, yeah, it's sort of a criminal underworld story of SoCal. And it's, you know, kind of we have Ellen Barkin playing a mother who is this sort of...
the godfather.
Yeah, essentially the godfather. Sort of, yeah. If not more badass.
Right.
And she sort of has these three boys who are very mischievous in her own way that she manipulates in every possible way that she's fitting for her own ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a little cousin who comes in after a sort of situation and has to sort of get dropped into this scary new world that he has to be a part of. And it's fun and it's, you know, we have lots of stunts and it's very dramatic and it's dark.
It's so interesting how awful so many of the people on this show are. But you still root for them and you root for the family. You really do become invested in their relationship and their safety.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is strange, yeah.
It is. It's one of those great anti-hero ones where you know you shouldn't be rooting for them, but you kind of get a sense of why they do what they do. And I think when you understand the environment they've been brought up into and how they need to live and survive, you very quickly sort of get on their side and kind of question if there's something wrong with you for wanting to be on their side and rooting for them in the first place.
I do appreciate that so far there's been more butt this season than in previous.
A lot of butt.
And I respect it, and I say, let's even do more.
Well, you know what? There's plenty more coming.
So more butts, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of butt. I mean, I think me and Sean were actually trying to tally up who'd shown more butt.
I was shocked by the by the perkiness of Sean Hattasey's butt.
Yeah,
a real perky butt.
I actually work out with him in the gym, and I didn't realize how many squats he was doing regularly, and
that kind of
upped my game. Though what he was doing as a
you didn't want him to outbutt you.
Yeah, exactly.
Your outdoor shower scene with your girlfriend last week, Ben.
Yes.
Stay out of that scene because she's good by herself.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I'm sorry I ruined that for you guys. Yeah.
I guess what I was going to ask is that a delicate dance to film to make sure that you don't show what you can't show?
It's a delicate dance in the fact that it's 6 o'clock in the morning and it's freezing cold and you're getting into a shower. It's not a good look for anyone. So the delicate dance is at least helpful for yourself turning away from the camera. But. No, it is. I mean, look, it's always a very, do you know what? It is. It's one of those weird things. You're like, right, well, this is the start of the day. This is what we're going to be doing. And off we go. Yeah.
Do you just keep yelling, it's freezing?
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
Being like, that's why.
Yes, you know what exactly. I'm saying. Yeah.
Right.
Don't judge.
Yeah, exactly.
have you been hurt with any of the, you know, running around doing jobs or in the ocean or getting in fights? Have you personally been hurt or do you just look like you've always been hurt because that's how they make you up?
I would probably say that I get made to look a lot worse than I do. We have some pretty amazing stunt guys who take the big hits, which go on. But, I mean, not really. We've got a pretty great team there. But there was a scene this year where we were actually went into the water in Sano, and there was a sign on the beach that said, do not get in. We have great whites in here currently. And there we were for, I think, 12 hours in the water. And
Everyone saw the sign, and they were like, it's all right, we're doing a TV show.
We had this big safety meeting beforehand, and it was about 50 dudes, and it was like, all right, well, if anyone feels uncomfortable about this, lift your hand. Well, obviously not one dude was going to put their hand up. We were out there with the great whites.
I saw that picture on your Instagram, and I thought, Ben is not a smart man. He's going right out into that water.
Yeah, I didn't feel very smart at the time, and was reminded of it when my mum called me up and asked what I'd been up to that day, and she was obviously
You don't tell your mom that, by the way.
No, absolutely not. Although she's currently dropped that she has this sneaky way of looking at Instagram now. So she just goes on Google and then will type in Instagram afterwards that's something she wants to see.
Interesting.
So now there's no hiding.
You, and you don't
yeah,
know it.
Yeah, uh-huh. Exactly.
We are talking to actor Ben Robson here on the Kevin Bean Show. The show is Animal Kingdom Tuesday nights at 9 on TNT. Before we run out of time, I have to ask because Dennis Leary is getting ready to join the cast.
Dennis Leary is getting ready to join the cast. He is a great guy to be with, and obviously he's got an incredible reputation. But yeah,
I was just wondering what it's like, though, when you guys have been so close for so long to have somebody come in like that, such a powerful personality as an outsider. Was it a tough adjustment having a new guy on the set?
No, we made it super difficult for him. we were not having anyone come on and telling us how to do it. No, not at all. It was actually really great. I mean, it was especially after what happens in the opening of the season. It was great to have someone in and you know, bring a whole new idea and just kind of brings a breath of fresh air to it and mixes it up. So it kind of keeps you on your toes, makes you want to work that much harder. And you know, when you get to work with the greats like that, it was a lot of fun. And it just turns out he's reasonably funny. So it was good times to be around him as well, being a comedian.
I have sort of an awkward question.
Fire away.
Ellen Barkin's character is in jail.
Yes.
But through the series, he seems to have manipulated you, her sons, romantically. Yes or no?
Because
that's...
Yes, essentially.
Weird. Yes is the answer.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I think it's a manipulation of you know, how she showcases her love, and whether it's a case of jealousy or playing with our insecurities. And I think with no father figures around, you don't really know any other way to be. So,
all right, yeah. I feel icky now.
Right?
That's kind of the point, I think.
You're not supposed to be comfy with
it. Yeah, exactly.
Being...
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. You don't have to tell me, but Lucy and Smurf, they're in on this together, right? She killed Baz, right?
You just don't know, do you?
Because Smurf's like, F him, he's not my real kid. Boom! Take all my money out of the wall. Who's with me?
Do you know what? It could have been me. I'm in Mexico as well, so you just never know.
But you are Frank's always needed some money. So much coke down there, you can't even keep anything straight. It's not you.
It could,
it's not you.
All right, let me ask you this question. Is that question answered in tonight's episode?
It starts leading the path of...
Unraveling.
The path. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's a terrific show. Our listeners know we have been talking about it since episode one, and there's nothing like it on TV. It's called Animal Kingdom. It airs Tuesday nights at 9 on TNT, and you can still get caught up on demand. But this season has been super fun, Ben, and we're so glad we got a chance to meet you.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, guys.
Stay out of the shower scenes, man.
No, please don't.
I will try.
Nope.
Unfortunately, I don't get much of a choice.
Allie's saying no.
More shower scenes.
Okay. Alanis Morissette's Alternative Rock. It's the world-famous K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show, about 20 minutes away from Muse. Very excited about that.
Me too. Hey, Jim Rome on the program today and Dr. Drupinski as well. First, though, I don't know how it happened or why it took so long, but yesterday, one of our international listeners, Ian, posted a picture on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page of his cats. We were surprised, A, by how doggone cute they are, and B...
Speak for yourself.
They're adorable, Kevin.
Yeah,
and B, more importantly, what Ian named his cat. So I think it's time to... get him on the line and find out what's going on in Ian's world in beautiful Bath, England, in Somerset County. Ian, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you? Good morning, Ali.
Good morning.
I know you can hear as well.
Hey.
And I'm Dave, if you're in the background listening.
Hey, man, how's it going?
I don't know if it's my
gun. Dave's here too, Ian.
Ian knows more about our show than I do.
Yeah,
Kevin could pretty not sure. have identified everybody right. on the show like that, Ian.
Right.
We have so many questions for you. Before we get to your lovely cats, we have to first ask, how did you, a man living in Britain, become a listener of the Kevin and Bean Show?
I actually started listening to you guys when I lived in the Middle East.
Okay, same question.
Well, yeah, we're huge there, you guys. We know that.
Same question there. How did you discover us?
I discovered you through the RIP Ralph Garman.
Okay.
And
so he's not dead, but okay.
Hold on a second. I don't understand, in the Facebook post that you've been listening to us for 10 years, though, so I don't understand that connection there.
Do you know what? You guys actually told me Michael Jackson died.
Wow.
I've been listening that long.
Wow.
Okay. So we're not going to get an answer to how you discovered us.
Through Ralph Garman's podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought he said R.I.P. Ralph is what I thought he said.
I was just making. Yeah,
that was a joke.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
I don't understand comedy, you guys.
Yeah, it's all right.
You know that. All right. Well, that's great. Okay. So you've been listening for a long time. So you do the podcast every day, and we very much appreciate that, as we appreciate all of our podcast listeners around the world. So
and,
the reason
I've
you
listened to you guys for so long, when I first heard the name Dave the King of Mexico, I always thought that would be the best name for a cat ever.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
Why?
I don't know.
It just struck you as...
I don't like the name Fluffy or, you know, Spots or things like that. I think animals should have proper names.
Okay,
like
so you didn't have a cat, but you already discovered that you wanted the name. If you got a cat, it would be Dave the King of Mexico.
I already had a cat called William, and I had a dog called Brad.
Okay.
Brad. I love Brad.
And when I heard Dave the King of Mexico on listening to you guys, I thought that next time I have an animal, that's going to be it, whether it would be a dog or a cat.
Okay, all right.
And me and my girlfriend had an agreement that if when we get cats, I can name them. And when we have kids, she can name them because I'm not responsible.
I think that's probably a good choice.
Yeah. I don't think you're responsible enough to name a child. I don't at all. All right,
exactly.
So Dave the King of Mexico comes into your life, and then at some point you added another cat to the family. Tell me about that one.
Well, we had, when we got Dave the King of Mexico, we also had another, Dave the King of Mexico had a twin sister, unfortunately, who passed away about a month ago.
Oh,
it was called E-Rock.
E-Rock.
Not K-Rock, E-Rock.
E-Rock, okay.
Okay.
But we knew for months that she was going to be, we knew for months that she wasn't going to be long for the world. And we didn't want to leave Dave on our own during the day. So we got the little fluffy Nordic Norwegian forest cat, which we named after you, Bean.
So one cat is Dave the King of Mexico and one cat is Bean Baxter.
Yep.
And if I'm correct here, both are lady cats.
They're all ladies. Okay. They were all ladies, yeah.
Right. Okay.
And
when we first took Dave to the vet, the lady behind the counter tried writing down Dave the Queen of Mexico.
No.
And I said, no.
Okay, right.
It seems like a lot of work, Ian.
So my kitten namesake here, Bean, has tiny little legs. Is there something wrong with her, or is that just what the breed looks like?
No, it's because she's so furry. It looks like she has tiny little legs. She's only 5 months old, Bean.
I see. Okay.
But she has paws bigger than a Rottweiler.
Wow. Okay.
She's still a tiny little kitten.
Okay.
She's going to be a monster.
Wow. That's it.
She's going to be the size of a tiger when she grows up.
She's climbing doors like a rock star. It was the vets. I must say, and I know it's a California show, but I must say Ashman Jones, the vets that looked after the one little E-Rock that passed away, mm-hmm. have been amazing. But they're the ones that said or tried changing it to Dave the Queen of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I did point out to them that they're cats. They don't really understand English.
Right.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough.
It's an odd thing to have to point out to them.
Yeah, and true to Dave the King of Mexico, you're Dave the King of Mexico. She doesn't understand Spanish either.
Well, this is an unbelievable tribute, Ian. I can't. Yeah. I mean, it's such an honor to have somebody name a pet after any of us on the show.
I'm so honored as well.
And let's talk about that. We do have to ask: is there some specific reason why Kevin has been left out of the menagerie here?
You know, I was going to say when hopefully me and my partner get a house with a garden, we're going to get a dog, and it's going to be called Ryder.
Oh, look at that. That's nice. And a dog, Kevin.
And I love
so
dogs.
You win.
Yes.
Okay.
That dog's going to be so dumb.
Oh, man, you're going to have a lot of problems with that dog.
A dog will never figure out potty training. Dog won't know how to eat.
It'll run into walls.
Run into walls. Well, Ian, thank you so much for all the years of support listening to the podcast. We really, really do appreciate it. Thank you for finally posting on the Facebook page yesterday so we could see your lovely family, all right?
No, I love you guys. I know we've never met, but I class you guys as friends because, like I said, I listen to you guys every day. And you make my day, and you also make me look like a weirdo.
Oh, no, 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 sir, you made you look like a weirdo.
Yes, I suspect you were a weirdo long before we got involved.
And Ian, I just want to thank you for making Dave the King of Mexico the skinny one, because finally there is a skinny Dave the King of Mexico.
You can see it on our Facebook page or Instagram at Kevin and Bean if you'd like to see these two cats.
Thanks, Ian. I hope we talk again soon, sir.
Oh, I love you guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks. You're back.
Bye.
Bye now.
Allie, I hate to admit you were right.
It gets easier, trust me.
But avocado hand is not only a real thing, it is apparently an epidemic.
Okay.
An epidemic.
I don't know about epidemic, but it's definitely a thing.
Let me give you some facts here.
Okay.
From the London Times, no self-respecting bruncher would consider a late breakfast without a little smashed avocado on toast. But for many, it comes at a high price. Surgeons say growing numbers of amateur chefs are reporting to accident and emergency departments with what they're calling avocado hand, serious stab and slash injuries that are the result of failed attempts to penetrate the fruit's hard outer casing with a sharp knife before encountering a resistant inner stone, which is what they call the pit in Britain. The British Association of Plastic, Reconstructive, and Aesthetic Surgeons is calling for safety labels on the fruit to staunch the flow of injured patients to hospitals. Many cases involve serious nerve and tendon injuries requiring intricate surgery, and even then, some patients never recover the full use of the hand.
That's a high price to pay for some avocado toast.
It really is. Wow. All right, here's a fun fact for you. Hard figures for avocado hand have not been collated, but it is a global phenomena. In New Zealand, more than 300 people have sued for compensation from avocado injuries in the past 5 years.
Suing avocado growers?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Come on. Why did you give me that fruit that had that stone in the middle of it? By the way, New Zealand is a tiny country.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
This isn't all the people who have had avocado hand. This is just the people who have sued for compensation for avocado hand.
Wow.
So how many people must there really be just in New Zealand who had this?
That are too embarrassed to sue because, my God, you cut yourself cutting an avocado.
Right.
Oh.
Now, have you heard from our listeners that they have been the victim of avocado hand?
I have. I did this story a couple days ago because a woman on The Bachelor or Bachelorette, I don't know, Andy, had to go to the hospital. She posted pictures. She cut through tendons. It was a bad situation. And I said in the story that there's an uptick in emergency rooms of something called avocado hands, to which I immediately got from Kelly, I've been an ER nurse in the middle of Hipsterville for the last 7 years, and you'll be happy to know there's no such thing as avocado hand. Fake news! Right after Kelly, I got from Cheryl Williams, Allie, don't judge, I have avocado hand. 2 stitches was kind of embarrassing. Next tweet, Sapphire Jones. Oh my God, Allie McKay, podcast listener here. My friend just had surgery on her hand because she cut a tendon while cutting an avocado. Uptick confirmed.
That's a serious injury when you cut a tendon. This isn't just a skin puncture.
No.
This goes down to the muscle. All right, you mentioned the chick from The Bachelor. Listen to this.
Andy Dorfman, a popular star from The Bachelorette, is the latest victim of avocado hand. She needed reconstructive surgery after she slashed her fingers cutting into an avocado.
By the way, reconstructive surgery?
Yeah.
That's not just you go and they put a couple of stitches in you and send you home.
Again, no, that's like you're getting boobs, maybe a nipple put on there.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
But
successful surgery. Tendons and nerves have been reunited, she revealed. She signed it. Hashtag avocado hand with emojis for an avocado and a knife.
That's good information to put. To put in the story, by the way. Thank you, Inside Edition.
A TMZ photographer caught her at the airport in L.A. with her arm in a sling.
Now my side is
He said, not my finest moment. Good interview.
31-year-old Andy, who appeared on The Bachelorette in 2014 and on The Bachelor earlier that year, is now wearing a multicolored dressing to protect her hand. Emergency rooms are reporting more and more cases of so-called avocado hand.
By the way, ordinarily, the mission of this show is to work our listeners into a needless frenzy.
Right.
I don't think this is the case this time around. I don't think we're crying wolf here.
No, it's real.
I think it's a legitimate thing you got to be careful about.
Injuries caused while cutting open the fruit. Meryl Streep badly injured her hand the same way.
Meryl!
If it can happen to Meryl Streep, it can happen to anybody, right?
I'm saying.
So how should you prepare an avocado?
Now, did you think that when you woke up this morning, we would be hearing a tutorial on how to cut an avocado?
No.
Here it is.
First of all, put the avocado on a surface. Don't have it in your hands.
Okay, so put it on the counter. Don't have it in your hand.
That's a great follow-up question, sir.
Our Stephen Fabian got some tips at the New York restaurant Avocadoria.
Okay, wait.
Yep.
There's a restaurant called Avocadoria?
All avocado.
No.
And Ria.
What do they sell for reals?
Like avocado toast, avocado salads, avocado.
You're just making this up. You don't have any idea.
No clue.
Avocadoria.
So you want to do long ways.
Long
slice
ways,
it
exactly.
Long ways.
And very gentle and soft.
Spin it around. Right? Until you feel that pit in there, right?
Yes.
Okay. You give it a twist.
Boom.
And comes you have it.
Perfectly.
And here's the trick to removing the pit without injuring yourself.
You're saying take the middle of the knife and give it one quick knock.
Perfect.
Yeah, you don't dig out the pit. Mm. You actually just you
twist it.
Bring the knife down on it so that it attaches to the pit and then twist it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do, again, you don't get avocado hand.
And spin twist it. Ooh, and look at that.
Lessons Andy Dorfman could have used.
Whoa, let's shame Andy at the end of that, right?
Oh, victim blaming.
So be careful is what we're saying. And Allie was right.
Maybe, yeah, an apology.
It's real.
Yeah.
Listen to this. 626. We just got this. Kevin Bean text 1-800-520-1067. My friend is a trauma surgeon and somehow managed to slice her hand cutting an avocado.
I mean, trauma surgeons, Meryl Streep. When will this end?
That's a great question. Less than 1 hour away to a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets celebrating friendship and beyond during the first ever Pixar Fest going on right now at Disneyland. We got them for you multiple times throughout the day here on K-Rock, including 9 a.m. Less than an hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Bean is a huge reader. He reads a lot of books. And he speed reads, too. He'll go, yeah, I got this 900-page book. I'm gonna do it on the flight.
Insane.
I, on the other hand, have maybe finished 3 books and started a bunch, but then they just don't. I can't stick with it. I don't have the...
3 books in your lifetime?
In my lifetime, yeah.
Stop it.
That surprises me only because there are subjects about which you are passionate. Like if there were a history of your favorite soccer team, I would think that would be a book that you would love to read every word of.
And it surprises me because you were an English major.
I mean, that's true, but Spark Notes, or whatever they call them now.
Come on. Really?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I feel like I get where the book is going, and I'm done. I can sort of, okay, I guess see the
right,
setup.
But other stuff happens after where it's
does
going,
it,
though.
But does it?
Yes, it all does.
Right. One of them was Harry Potter. That might be funny for you to know, because that was a long book, the original Harry Potter.
Right.
Did you only read the first one?
No.
Yeah.
You read the first book?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
You never read the other books?
No, then movies.
Well, the one thing you can guarantee is if they made a movie of it, there's no reason to ever read the book.
Correct.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Now, Jimmy Kimmel was talking about this the other night, and his statistic will blow you away. This is Jimmy.
According to a recent study from the Pew Research Center, almost 1 in 4 Americans has not read a book in the past year. That actually seems high to me.
Almost 1 in 4 in Americans hasn't read a book in the last year.
I don't find that difficult to believe because I think there are a lot of people who spend a lot of time reading, but it's on social media. I think if people have time to sit down on their couch and read something, they'd rather read their Instagram than read a book. Don't you think?
I don't think of Instagram as reading, but...
Well, I mean, it's something that you're doing with your eyes when you're not reading. I mean, you're not reading a book during that time where you could be reading a book because you're more interested in your social media, your Facebook feed, or your Twitter, or whatever,
All right.
think.
All right, so Jimmy takes it a step further.
I bet it's even fewer than that. So To find out, this afternoon we sent a team out to the street to ask pedestrians to name a book. Any book. It could be the Bible. It could be 50 Shades of Grey. All we wanted to know is, can you name a book? And here's how that went.
So they go out with a microphone.
That's
a
pretty low bar.
Right? And they stop people on the street and they ask them point blank just the question, can you name a book?
Oh, my
God.
One book.
No, I don't like this.
And like Jimmy said, the Bible is a book.
Right.
Like, it seems like you would be able to do that. Now, I don't know if this is nerves because there's a camera on them, but a book.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard.
A book.
Just a book.
Tell me if you want to stop at any point.
Can you name a book?
Oh, yes. I don't read books. But, what's it called?
Can you name a book?
No.
Can you name a book?
At least she found the humor in it.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
This is, I mean, like you said, Harry Potter, one of the publishing sensations of the last 25 years. I would think that a lot of people would come up with that,
even
just because it's so popular.
But a lot of these people are saying, I don't read. That doesn't matter. Have you heard of a book?
Have you heard of a book? You've heard of 1984. You've heard of To Kill a Mockingbird. You've heard of something, right?
I wouldn't have gotten those, but I'm saying, you know, Harry Potter. Let's continue.
I don't read books. Yeah, that's it.
A book? The Lion King.
The movie?
Yeah, the book.
You read the book The Lion King?
Yeah. You just think, dang, hold on, man. I haven't even read it. Hold on, let me think. Hold on. Can we cut this and do it again?
Isn't this crazy?
It's stunning.
Dear. A book.
It's
amazing. Look, I'm going to give some of these people the benefit of the doubt, like you say, Kevin, that they're scrambling to come up with an answer. They're nervous. They're on TV. And they just, their minds just go blank. They walk away. Hopefully, 1 minute later, they think of a book.
Probably not. Let's continue.
Can you name a book?
A book. Any book? The Jungle Book. It's not a book, is it? It's a movie. Jungle Book, sure.
Is it?
Both.
Be sure?
No.
Jungle Book is a book, by the way.
At least he thought of a word with a title with book in the name
true,
of it.
And that's the only reason he came up with it.
Right?
That's amazing.
Do magazines count?
Oh, dear. Oh, God.
Do magazines count? As naming a book.
Do magazines count?
No, those wouldn't be books.
That's correct.
I can name Moby Dick.
All right, here's my favorite guy.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
This is my favorite guy. So we're all excited because he could name Moby Dick.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a book.
Right? That's a famous book. Good for him. He can name it. Very excited.
I can name Moby Dick. That's an artist. He wrote a book called Horse.
Wait.
Okay, Moby Dick was not an author.
Wrong. He wrote a book called Horse.
Horse. You know, the famous Horse by Moby Dick.
Is this guy just mad libbing? He wrote a book called Horse.
I can name Moby Dick. That's an artist. He wrote a book called Horse.
Is there an artist named Moby Dick, maybe, that wrote...
No!
Really?
There's just the Herman Melville book, Moby Dick.
No. There's the author that wrote the book, the very popular book, Horse.
Where did he come up with Horse?
I'm guessing he saw one down the street or something. It's just like, I can't think of anything.
I mean, at least it would make sense if the book was called Whale, you know?
Moby Dick wrote Horse. Do not argue with this guy.
Okay.
All right.
I like that book.
Moby Dick was the author.
Yes.
And the book was Horse.
Yes. That's what I say, huh?
All right. Don't get lippy.
Wow.
You're way wrong. Don't get so lippy.
What was the last book you read?
Probably Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss, maybe?
I haven't read a book for like 12 years.
I'm drawing a blank. Jeez.
I need books. Sorry. I am totally blanking out on books.
All right. Now, what do you think this woman does for a living?
Oh, I hope she's a librarian. There's no way.
I need books. Sorry. I am totally blanking out on books.
What do you do for a living?
I was a librarian.
No.
Yes.
That's not even possible.
Yes. And this is also possible.
I can name Moby Dick. That's an artist. He wrote a book called Horse.
That's a thing.
I love it. I love it.
I mean, imagine what it must be like to discover this type of quality for the first time.
Oh, I can't. You're so lucky that you still have hearing the Armenian Comedian songs for the first time and loving them ahead of you when the rest of us went through that phase 20 years ago.
I mean, can you imagine, like, the first time you heard Nirvana? You know what I mean? Like,
or the Beatles?
Beatles, sure.
Right?
You go, wow. This
really?
Is, yes.
Huh.
This is amazing.
Or spoke to Jesus. I mean, it's on that level.
Right.
Look.
It's a great example.
Look, there's. I am Mr. Bad Example. There's two things I know about this job, and it's very difficult to please all the people all the time.
Right.
It really is. But the two things I know, and we do listen to feedback from the Kevin B. listeners, God bless you, is talk more about politics, because that's the one thing all Americans can agree on.
They love it.
That's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. And why are there not more Armenian Comedian songs on my radio? So we played a little clip of a song yesterday in a throwaway like comedy bit. And Allie's like, what is that? And we were just like, you haven't heard? The Armenian Comedian, I know he's a terrible comedian. And I know that's probably how you, Allie, and maybe many of our listeners know him. But he's an outstanding musician.
That's before he branched out into music
and
conquered that world.
Oh, got it. Okay.
You can't be great at everything,
right?
But he is great at one thing, which is songs. Now, we're going to just zip through a few of our favorites, and you tell us when you've had enough, Allie.
No.
And we'll ignore that.
Exactly.
We'll ignore that, and we'll keep
it.
Playing it. Let's start with the one that got this whole conversation going yesterday. Here's a little bit of, and by the way, Kevin, is there a song more timely now than ever before than this one?
That's one of Sam's talents.
That's right. Is teenagers stop spraying the bullets on each other. Please enjoy it.
You can tell high quality production already.
And he sings this one like he means it, by the way.
Come on.
Hey, wake up, teenagers. I say stop spraying the bullets on each other.
Poignant, am I right?
Stop.
Yes.
I say stop playing with the guns. Stop playing with the guns. I'm spraying bullets on each other, right?
Okay.
By shooting on the freeway.
Oh. I think I get the chip.
What's that?
I get the chip.
Spraying the bullets on each other.
I mean, it is a good message.
Right.
And it's a great effing song, too.
Oh, wow.
By the way, am I wrong about this, or does his band rock?
This band rocks, Bean.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's hear...
You want to go straight to Oh Mama, or you want to save it?
No, save that.
Okay,
let's go to another one of his upbeat bangers. This one is called I Just Can't Forget You, Baby.
I Just Want to Forget You, Baby.
I Just Want to Forget You, Baby. Right. Now, so this is a poignant, sad breakup song, and you can hear the emotion in Sam's voice.
Sorry. Yeah.
When he goes, yeah! That's sad.
Why? No! It's not needed.
I just want to forget you, baby. And I know it's impossible.
It's impossible to forget her.
Yeah. I mean, the
anguish.
Right?
Yeah, there's
and
a lot of angst.
It's impossible. Oh,
that hurts. I'm crying now.
You love it stronger every day by day. And I know.
What do you know, Sam?
Hey!
Hey!
I just want to forget you, baby.
I remember trying to get him to stop saying hey in the middle of an I just want to forget you, baby. Because it doesn't really fit.
All right.
Where do we go from here? Do we go Highway to Hell or do we go Oh Mama?
Do we close with Oh Mama? All right, let's do a little Highway to Hell, and then we'll close with Omama.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the man contains multitudes. It's unbelievable the range in these songs.
You know the singer Wing?
Sure.
Okay, so that's my obsession.
Yeah.
So I believe it was our former producer Lightning who put them together on this duet.
Oh, no.
Of Highway to Hell.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And it's the best thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Tell me the truth, Kevin. You have this on a playlist somewhere on your phone, right?
Absolutely. Listen to the drums.
Oh.
All right, now Wing is going to start it because she's, you know, she's got the strength to start
it.
Bring it, Sam. Honestly, is there a better song?
Oh.
And that's an exclusive, by the way. That's K-Rock only. Right? All right.
You gotta be proud.
One more. And this one just, forgive me if I weep openly when I hear the anguish. This is a song that Sam wrote about his late mother. She gets to heaven, and he's so happy because God is going to introduce mother to his father who left before them. I mean, try not to cry when you hear this one from the Armenian comedian.
Oh, it's so sad. Why does he always play that little, what is it called?
A recorder.
A recorder. He always plays the recorder as if he's some kind of a genius at it.
Why does Jimi Hendrix always play guitar, Kevin? Because that's what he was put on this earth to do.
That's a great point. My bad. You can feel the heartbreak.
You can.
Yeah, it's building up.
Oh. Mama, oh, mama.
See, he can do ballads too, you guys.
Did you meet my papa?
Because they're both in heaven.
Right.
Right.
Oh, papa, I said, papa. You be my mama. Oh, mama, please, did you be my papa?
I swear to God, I'm not just making this up. I think this is the only song.
You guys are horrible.
That he truly felt this. What do you think, Dean? Like, of all the songs that he's written, like, this is heartfelt.
Right.
I think Sam feels them all. I think he was serious about the teenagers to stop bringing bullets at each other. I do. Okay. I think he really did want to forget that one lady. And I think you're right. I think he's barely keeping it together with this one.
Right?
Did we find out in the song if they did meet in
heaven? I don't remember. Do you want to keep listening to find
Has
out?
Has anyone ever heard the end of it, Allie? Who knows?
Introduce them each other.
So now telling Jesus to introduce them.
Sure.
And send them to heaven.
All right, now that you've heard them, Allie, did we oversell or is it the greatest thing you've ever heard?
What is wrong with the two
All of
you?
All of those better than Paul McCartney, by the way. All of them.
I mean, recent, yeah.
I love this story so much, you guys. You're almost not going to believe it, but it unfolded on Twitter a couple of nights ago. Her name is Tia Freeman. She is in the Air Force. She lives in Nashville. And she is one of these ladies who did not know she was pregnant until pretty late in her pregnancy.
Wow, that's crazy.
Which is such a surprise because if you've ever known a pregnant woman, their entire lives change from about 4 months in. They can't control their bodies. They can't control their emotions. They got a million appointments. I mean, they're busy. Their pregnancy becomes a full-time job for most women. Hmm. This woman didn't even know she was pregnant until she was in her third trimester. She said, by the way,
that's got to be a crazy, weird surprise. Oh, yes. Not only are you pregnant. Yes. But you're going to deliver within 3 months.
Yes, exactly. She said she was in shock. She never saw herself as a mom before. She was very career-oriented. As I mentioned, she was in the Air Force. She says, before you ask about birth control, the one I was on made it so that I did not have a cycle every month. So I was not having a period was not an indicator for me. On top of that, I didn't really gain any weight. So again, she's a little bit of an anomaly for most women, right? All right. So even though she's pregnant, on March 7th, she took a 14-hour flight to Istanbul, Turkey, where she had an overnight layover en route to Germany.
Okay.
After eating the in-flight meal, she began to feel sick. You can see where this is going.
Oh.
She chalked it up to food poisoning at first, but at the airport in Istanbul, it dawned on her that maybe there was another explanation. She says, I'm literally gripping the railing, trying to make it through the line. At this point, I feel like I'm getting ready to pass out. I was sweating. I felt like I had to vomit. I'm going through it. And then it was occurred to me, wait a minute, bitch, you're in labor.
In labor.
In Istanbul, what? Turkey, by the way. So she takes the previously arranged transportation from the airport. Where? To a hospital, you might hope?
Of course.
Nope, to her hotel room. She said that she nixed the idea of going to the hospital for several reasons. Not many people spoke English that she encountered there. She also didn't know what the country's emergency number was, which seemed like the type of thing maybe you could work around that, right? Mm-hmm. And she didn't know how her insurance would work overseas, so she just decided to DIY it.
Oh, God.
That's incredibly insane and risky.
It does seem like there are a lot of things that can go wrong in, I don't know, delivering a human from your belly, right?
I feel like there's going to be less people in her hotel room that don't speak English than would be doctors at a hospital.
Plus insurance and all that, you go, it'll get taken care of later, right?
Yeah.
Now, how in a million years would you ever begin knowing how to deliver your own baby? I mean, I know you can think through, okay, I push and at some point the kid's going to come out. But it seems like I wouldn't want to be the person responsible for knowing all the things you're supposed to do to ensure that kid's safety and survival in its first few minutes.
She
right?
called the bellman, I'm sure.
Well,
oh, hell no.
In true millennial form, she says, I decided to YouTube it.
Nope.
Yes.
Did you say YouTube it?
She decided to YouTube it.
So yes. Now she's not only DIYing her birth.
Uh-huh.
She's setting up a camera and getting ready to...
Oh, no, she's looking it up.
Oh, looking it up.
How to deliver a baby.
I thought you meant she was
like
posting
live streaming it.
Yes.
No.
But she doesn't have enough to worry about?
How do I look for my Facebook Live? She said, I knew the internet would have my back. So here my ass is in a hotel room all by my lonesome trying to learn how to deliver my own baby. So she grabbed two towels, one to wrap her baby in and the other to bite onto while she gave birth.
Wow.
And according to the YouTube tutorial she read, she filled the bathtub with warm water. And she learned that she should begin to push hard once the contractions were a minute apart. After just a few pushes, the baby popped out and floated right up on top of the water.
And then walked on that water.
It was a boy. And by the way, how unbelievably lucky is this woman every step of the way, not the least of which is it sounds like her labor was only a few minutes long.
Yeah, this is all insane.
Aren't there women who, like my mother, for instance, who are in labor for 30 hours?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What would she have done? What would she have done if she's in that bathtub by herself there and it started to turn into a 5, 10, 15-hour thing?
I have no idea. That seems incredibly dangerous for her own health and especially for her baby's health.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Freeman then had to figure out a procedure for removing an umbilical cord without the proper tools. After checking online, she sterilized her shoelaces by boiling them in water and used them as clamps as she cut the cord. After all of this, the new mother still didn't go to the hospital. Instead, she cleaned the bathroom because it looked like the set of a horror movie, she said, and then went to bed with her newborn son. So she still hadn't gone to the hospital at that point.
How all is right. any of this possible?
I know.
I'm calling BS on a lot. Where is she boiling water in a hotel room?
Great question.
Don't know the answer to that unless she
stayed with
a kitchenette that had a microwave. Or maybe she didn't boil it as much as she just turned it on hot and just let it run and let it get as hot as it could.
Yeah.
So I clean up the bathroom, I breastfeed my baby, and I go to sleep. No, I did not go to the hospital. I went to bed. So the next day I wake up and get ready to go to the airport because I'd already paid for the cab the night before, even though I knew I couldn't fly out. Now remember, she's on a layover trying to get to Germany. She's on Istanbul, Turkey. Now, Here's where it gets weird. She gets to the airport.
Here's where it gets weird.
Yeah, she's already delivered her own baby, but here's where it gets weird. She gets to the airport the next day. There was a lot of confusion. They thought I was a human trafficker trying to smuggle out a baby. When I get to the airport, workers are freaking out because you can tell this baby is fresh. I legit didn't have any baby clothes, and I made him something out of my favorite blue oversized button-down. Anyway, they thought I was a human trafficker trying to smuggle out a baby. But Freeman and her son were examined and her story checked out, and the airport staff apparently were very nice. They even helped her name her son, by the way, which is Xavier. The ladies at the airport who helped me said that he should have a cute Turkish name, so his middle name is Atta. I don't know what that means. By the way, pictures of all of this stuff. Then they take her to the U.S. Embassy in Turkey, where her son was issued a birth certificate and passport so he could leave the country.
So now she not only had gave birth herself,
right.
Now the very next day she's going to take that baby on a flight?
Yeah, I didn't think that was possible.
This doesn't seem like it.
I don't think that's legal.
Well, no, she said in the earlier tweet that I read that she had already paid for the cab to go to the airport, so she decided to take it even though she knew she couldn't fly out.
Okay.
She just thought she'd take advantage of the transportation that she had to get out of the hotel, I guess. At this point, finally, after the embassy and the passport and the birth certificate, she was then transported to the hospital where they were examined, and both mother and son received a clean bill of health. She remained in Istanbul for 2 more weeks, and Turkish Airlines paid for her stay in full. So, I mean, you look at the story, and by the way, she's just so smiling and happy in all these photos. The kid is adorable. It looked like overall, thank God, in retrospect, it was a perfect experience, it sounds like. She says she's so excited to be able to tell her son this story when he grows up. No one in her family, by the way.
The kid's going to say, Mom, why didn't you care about me?
You had no idea I was coming.
Right?
No one in her family even knew she was pregnant, by the way. She hadn't even told anybody that she was pregnant. They all found out a couple days after she was born. So there you go. For all the people who have heard crazy stories about complicated and difficult births, this lady did it a little different, didn't she? Why do I feel like you were involved in more than one senior prank, Kevin? Why
dare
do I feel like
you,
you're the guy that the other students came to and said, all right, we got 2 weeks left in school. What are we going to do, Kevin? What do you got?
How dare you?
Senior pranks are in the news right now, and we're going to be looking for yours in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. I've always said, look, this is Bean speaking. And I'm not into fun. I don't enjoy. I don't like nonsense at
right.
all. You know that.
And I'm just the opposite.
But my biggest problem with senior pranks is
they're not extreme enough.
No,
oh.
Most of them are straight up vandalism, and I got no time for that. That just does nothing but create problems and cost taxpayers money. And that's not even funny. Vandalism is not even funny.
Okay, then I'm not going to tell three of my stories.
In other words,
three.
Here's what I'm going to say. If you slather KY jelly on all the doorknobs in a school, funny. If you put glue in the locks and then they all have to be replaced, not funny.
I see.
You see the difference?
Why's it got to be KY?
It's KY, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm
because
just
it's what you have on hand.
Isn't this the first thing I thought that would be is sticky when you try to, greasy?
It's not. I don't think it's sticky. Okay.
All right, maybe I don't know how it works.
Maybe you should look that up.
Maybe I'm not the guy to describe KY. So anyway, those are my parameters from senior pranks. Now let's talk about a couple of senior pranks that are in the news, and then we'll take some calls. What do you got?
Well, this particular guy got in a tremendous amount of trouble.
Yeah, Kylan Shaley says he has a 3.9 GPA. He's never been in detention or in trouble, and that this was just meant to be a harmless senior prank.
By the way, I don't trust anyone that's never been in detention. I mean, come on. Are you? I mean, seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
I was never in detention.
Me neither.
Okay, let's move on.
On Friday, the 18-year-old jokingly posted this ad on Craigslist, claiming his high school was for sale.
That's funny.
Right?
He posted his high school for sale on Craigslist.
I love it.
Right.
I got no problem with that. That's fantastic.
The other people were going to do, like, releasing live mice or, building a beach in the front, like, lobby area. I'm like, nah.
Look, I'm down with both.
No, you don't play
except
with
for
animals.
The mice. Not with the mice, right?
Building the beach in the lobby, that's funny.
Sure.
Let's do something more laid back.
The ad listed several amenities, including plenty of parking and a bigger than normal dining room. But the school district took issue with the reason for the sale, which Kylan wrote was due to the loss of students coming up.
Okay, now, at
oh,
that
wait,
point,
what?
Due to the loss of students coming up, So they were afraid that was a threat.
Yeah, what does
he explains that he meant the senior, they're losing all of the senior class. That's what he was thinking in his head, is that all the seniors are leaving the school.
Huh. Okay.
But that didn't sound like that necessarily to the school.
Loss of students because the senior class is graduating.
Detectives with the Independence Police Department investigated and found no probable cause or reason to pursue criminal charges.
They didn't see a credible threat. They all kind of had a little chuckle about it, but they wanted him to understand that you could see how other people would see that as a threat.
Now, looking back, Kylan says he wishes he had worded the post a bit differently. He says he regrets the outcome of his actions, but insists that his intentions were innocent.
I sort of give him the benefit of the doubt that his intentions were innocent. And yeah, that was poor wording just based on the times that we live in.
I agree. What happened to him? You said he got a bunch of trouble.
He got kicked out and he was unable to walk across. He didn't get killed.
Yeah, he's been murdered.
That's not true.
No?
He didn't get to walk across the stage when they graduated. Ooh. He had a 3.9.
Wow.
Right. So, I mean, it was pretty strong.
See, that's my huge fear, that you do something wrong, they won't let you graduate. Like, when I was in high school, my friend Donna Martin got really drunk at prom, and she was not going to be able to graduate. So we all got together. Really? None of you?
Donna Martin graduate.
Thank you, Dave. God damn it.
It's Beverly Hills 90210. I was waiting for you to finish your sentence.
I hate you all.
All right.
Kevin is doubled over because he was so into my story.
I was like, wrap it up.
What
I want to hear the
with Donna?
That's very true.
I thought you were going to finish the sentence and I would jump in. I'm sorry. I should have interrupted. Let's go to Albert real quick in La Puente. I already hate Albert and everything he stands for.
I don't think you need to say that up front.
Let's hear about senior pranks from you, the Kevin and B Lister. Either you were a part of it or it happened at your school. 1-800-520-1067. Albert, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling, sir. What happened?
So I work for, I used to work for Alley Unified School District as a tree trimmer, and we got an emergency call one day that kids were trying to knock down an 80-foot palm tree in the senior quad, but the guys did it the wrong way. They got their chainsaw stuck, and it was going to fall towards the building.
Oh, man. So it wasn't you. It was you were responding to a call of seniors that had no idea what they were doing.
Yeah, they thought it'd be funny to lay it across the senior quad, but they didn't know what they were doing, and it was going to fall towards the building. So we showed up, and we had to just drop it in the senior quad, but we dropped it the safer, the right way.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So the next year, they took notes on how we did it that one year. The next year, they went ahead and dropped another palm tree in the senior quad, and they did it the safe way this time.
What the hell?
These kids hate trees.
Right? What the hell? They really got it in for palm trees.
Don't cut down palm trees.
I guess they thought it'd be funny, but, you know.
Right, but the second year after you fail? Let's do it again. We learned.
Yeah, that is that's a lot of hate toward a tree, that's for sure. All right, Albert, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for calling. 1-800-520-1067. Senior pranks, that's the topic. What'd you do? What happened at your school? We want to talk to you next on K-Rock.
Just ahead of the 1975, we're talking senior pranks, and we've got Brian from Huntington Beach. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Mine's an old one, but it's a good one.
Okay.
I was with eight friends of mine who collectively got together and had a plan to go to an Ole's hardware store and steal manure to spread it in the hall of our administration hall on the floor. Our plan was pretty foolproof. And what happened was, is there's just too many people involved and too many mouths talking. And we ended up
and it got out before you did it?
No.
Oh.
Afterwards, the story got out and people started spilling their guts and we all got expelled from school.
What?
Yeah.
Don't they know snitches get stitches?
Yeah, none. But this is the bad part of it was, is that other kids, underclassmen from underclassmen that night broke into one of the shops and truly vandalized the shop. So they thought we were part of that group.
Oh,
and they
no.
said, you're all getting exposed. So asked, no, we had nothing to do with that. We just spread the manure.
You were the shoplifters, not the vandals. Come on, keep it straight.
I like that we just spread the manure as your defense.
Yes, right. That's all I did.
They thought we had keys to the administrative hall. And back in those days, if you remember, there was a push bars on the doors.
Sure.
You just push the bar down. All we used was a coat hanger to reach inside the crack of the door and pull the bar down and open the door.
I love how much joy Brian has right this second telling the story.
Still the highlight of his whole life that night.
But here's the deal, though. It was the biggest mistake I ever made because that night at 2 o'clock in the morning, as I'm sneaking out of the house, I have to walk by my parents' bedroom. My dad wakes up and says, "Where are you going?" And I said to him, Dad, don't worry about it. I'll be right back.
Yeah, that works.
That's the last. That was the last time I ever said, Dad, don't worry about it.
Well, I'm glad it still brings you so much joy after all these years, Brian. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock. We're talking about senior pranks. Some are ill-advised. Kevin, you brought up a story about a kid who could not graduate because of putting his high school up for sale.
Yeah, on Craigslist, which I found funny.
I think that's funny, too.
Yeah,
my high school was in the news last week a senior prank.
What'd you do? You went back?
No, I went to high school in Bowie, Maryland, which is a Washington, D.C. suburb. Go Bulldogs. And you are not going to believe this group of students decided that they were going to fake a school shooting.
Oh, no.
Are you kidding?
This was 2 days after the Santa Fe, Texas shooting. A group of students dressed up in all black, including masks, and then went in with replica guns and set off fireworks and smoke bombs in the hallway.
Are you kidding me? They're lucky they didn't get shot and killed.
Yes, yes. They really are.
Wow.
I mean, it is inconceivable that anybody would think that that is a good idea, even if there had never been a school shooting, much less on the heels of multiple school shootings. So last I heard, they were looking, they had obviously already suspended those students, but they were looking at not letting them graduate, and they were looking at criminal charges. They were looking at a bunch of other stuff. So really, really think your school pranks through, I guess is what I'm saying.
All right, let's go to...
But at least I'm now not the dumbest person to have ever gone to Bowie High School.
Yay!
Let's start with Kim in Covina. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
We are good. Good morning.
So my nephew lives in Chicago. They thought it was funny. They were going to have a game, a water polo game, against the teachers and some administrators. So they decided the night before that they snuck in it's an indoor pool. They decided to fill the pool with food coloring, which is blue.
Sure.
So, the whole team knew about it, except for, obviously the teachers and the administrators. And so they let them get in first, and they all turned blue. And so needless to say, it was funny.
Wait, the administrators didn't see the blue pool?
No, because it was the color of the pool. They got it. They, so they made it was blue. It just looked normal. It's an indoor pool.
Look
at you. They didn't see anything of it. And they jumped in. They got out blue, and they weren't too happy about it.
So I approve.
I'm going to say I will allow it.
I approve.
I will allow it. Yeah.
You did the right thing.
Great call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kim.
I want to see some naked dudes. It's why I built this pool.
All right, let's go to Edward in Hacienda Heights. Hi, Edward.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
What'd it do?
Hi. So, long story short, my second day in high school, I decided to run naked across and do something. So I decided to do it during the homecoming game because at least then I was still 17. If I didn't graduation, I would have been a pedophile, so I decided to run naked.
And I was I don't know if you would have been a pedophile.
Maybe you need to look up the word pedophile.
I was 17 at the time.
Right,
so
but turning 18 doesn't make you... Okay.
Right, it was a sex offender is the term you're looking for. Okay, all right. So you run across the field naked. Was it just you, or did you do it with a bunch of other students?
It was just by myself, but it was a group of family effort. And pretty much... I told a selective group of friends that I was going to do it. That way, if I backed out, they would make fun of me. And then one of my friends actually told the athletic director, and he actually left the gate open for me. No one knew this. This is the first time people are finding out this now, but the athletic director was in on it, and he left the gate open for me.
Nice.
And, pretty much I planned it out. And then when they were announcing the homecoming queen during the game, I ran naked across the football field, and cops were chasing me, and people with golf carts were chasing me. And I ran naked across the football field, and then my sister was my getaway car, so I ran through both fields, through the baseball field, and I got on my getaway car. Pretty much I got caught the following week because what I did was when I ordered my class ring the month prior, it said streaker on it, and I guess the administration staff.
You might be the dumbest person ever.
So you would have gotten away with it if you hadn't outed yourself as the streaker.
And my senior coach said it was homecoming, it was me. So both things were done a month prior.
Edward.
You're not good at this, Edward.
No, you're not. I want you to go.
It was so worth it. It changed my life. I became a medic. I joined the Army.
Oh,
it was
excellent.
One of the best things that.
Wait. You became a medic and joined the Army because of streaking?
Yeah, it was like such an adrenaline rush. Originally, as I was running down to the field, I was having like second thoughts about doing it.
Of course.
Don't do it. You're going to ruin your life. This is stupid. And then as I'm saying this, I'm already jumping the fence. I'm like, what the hell? So I'm like, and then game time. So then I ran it. So I was not going to do it up until I jumped the fence. And the moment I jumped the fence.
All right.
Yeah.
And it felt so free, too, yeah. Didn't it?
Oh, man, it was one of the best feelings in the world. I was blinded by flashes because they were announcing the homecoming queen.
Picked a good time.
I will say this about Edward. The fact that they didn't know who it was until they saw the ring and then the guy that left the gate open said it was him.
Right.
That means they weren't looking at his face.
No one, you know what I'm saying, Edward? No one was looking at your face.
I'm giving you props, dude. No one was looking at your face.
All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, Edward. All right. Boy, we got a bunch of good ones here. Let's go to James Line 1, please, Westminster. This sounds like a very elaborate senior prank. James, welcome to the Kevin Devine Show. What's going on?
Good morning. This happened a long time ago, so the statute of limitations are up.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it took weeks of preparations. We would go to miniature golf courses all throughout the county, and we started taking, like, the Pot of Gold, the Three-Headed Hydra, the huge ceramic tiger, the little miniature buildings that you put into, and we were storing them in a buddy's backyard. And we went to a butcher shop and took the large cow that was on top of the roof. And we had just a whole little city of miniature golf props and all kinds of just nonsense. And on graduation day, we took all of that stuff. It took all night to get it over there into the senior court. And by the time the morning came up and the sun rose and students started coming to class, it was like a little miniature golf city all over the court.
That sounds pretty cool.
It sounds pretty creative.
Unless you want to go miniature golfing.
you don't have anything.
In which case, that sucks.
Now, it was a lot of work, and even if you were found out, would you have even gotten in any trouble just for that?
Back then, I don't know. It was a lot of work. For the butcher shop stunt, we did get in the newspaper because that was like the third or fourth time that cow had been stolen. So I think they chained it down after that. But it was great, and we didn't get in trouble at all. And I don't think we were even caught, really. I think maybe just some of the inside students knew, but that was it.
All right. Gotcha. All right. Well done, sir. Thank you very much. All right. Do we have time for one more, Ken?
Sure. Yeah.
Who do you like? Because we got some good ones here.
Let's see. I like Stacy in Santa Ana. Hi there.
Hey, what a do, boys?
What and to you as well.
Hey, I'm a teacher. This was a really cute prank. One of the kids...
Okay, wait. Let me just interrupt you before you tell us the prank. Do you despise it when it comes around to the time of year when there are senior pranks?
Actually, I'm curious. I want to see what's going to happen. I definitely look over my shoulder a little bit.
Okay, make sure you don't get shivved. All right.
Yeah, well, I just want to make sure, like, the prank doesn't happen in front of me.
All right, so what happened?
So there's one kid worked for a movie theater, and for 2 years he was supposed to throw out the popcorn, the leftover, and instead he kept it. For 2 years, leftover, you know, big bag, garbage bag, full of popcorn, old popcorn. And then he had his friends actually help store it because it was too much for him to store. And they filled the senior quad with popcorn almost up to your waist.
Wow, that's strong. That is
really kind of fun.
You said it was fun.
And then kids are just kind of swimming in it and playing in it. And then actually they were cool enough to help clean it up. So they didn't get in any trouble.
That's bogus.
It was just kind of an innocent, fun thing.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good one. And you sound like a very cool teacher. Thanks a lot for listening. Thanks for calling, Stacey.
All right, look, do we need to separate you two before we begin?
No, this could be a civil discussion. It doesn't have to resort to fisticuffs. We're
going
to
start
fine.
That way.
I mean, he walked in bringing heat. I was ready to squash the beef.
Were you?
I was very willing
to accept.
You were
talking smack just before he came
in. To accept an apology as soon as he came in and say, Allie, I'm sorry. I spoke too soon about Deflategate. There are different extenuating circumstances that could have changed the PSI.
Hey, Bill Nye.
Bill Nye, the science guy, is here.
Now, Allie, why have you been walking around with this chip on your shoulder about the great Bill Nye, who's done more for science and more for America than almost anyone I know?
Listen, wow. Listen, he
doesn't know very many people, but
he does great things for science. He teaches us a lot. He teaches a lot of people science in a way that is super easy for them to understand. Mm-hmm. I think you make science accessible. I think that's great.
But
that's why the
misstep
with Deflategate.
What happened with Deflategate?
He basically did this video and said, essentially, the only way to change the PSI would be with this. And then he showed the needle, acting like that was the only way that the ball could have changed pressure.
Hmm. The other way was that the trainer in the locker room was doing it. That was the other way.
Bill, nice.
So remember that. Keep in mind, everybody, the objective, open-minded viewer and rather listener, there's some of each here, that that video was made before the guy admitted that he would routinely deflate the balls.
And but so, not deflate. It was a matter
not
of...
Not inflate as much.
Okay, let's not.
Okay. Are you dehydrated?
Correct or incorrect. You're a Seattle fan.
Here's what's charming.
I'm sorry, what, Ellie?
He's a Seattle Seahawks
fan. Here's what's charming.
Okay, what's charming?
The team was cheating.
Uh-huh.
And it wouldn't matter. You say it's just a football game. It's fine. No, but billions of dollars slosh back and forth in betting on that game.
Correct.
So then when you have a team that cheats as a matter of course, it's sort of not cool.
But if they cheat as a matter of course, don't you figure that into the betting?
Yeah, I guess
isn't
you
that
do.
No longer a variable?
The thing that was really compelling, though, was the fumble rate. Did you see that analysis?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
That was cool.
Yeah.
But you guys, it's your thing, you know.
He's already
exhausted. Doesn't care.
Well, it's not just that. I mean,
because he knows he's right.
Well,
we have this tradition
heat?
Right now of somehow one's opinion about pick a thing, the flatness of the Earth,
right?
The human effect on the amount of carbon dioxide in the Earth's atmosphere,
right?
Mm-hmm. Like one's opinion is the same as science.
Right.
And that's just how
does it hurt your soul?
It's anti-enlightenment.
Does it hurt your soul as a guy who spent his entire life talking about science that now it seems like it's being perceived as subjective?
That's for you. It must crush
you. It just must crush you.
It's crushing my smokes, as we say in the old parlance. Yeah, so you guys, the New English people are never going to get over this, and we'll move on.
All right. Bill, what do you say? I'm sure you've handled
You're not getting an apology.
You've handled the flat.
No, you guys, here's what people didn't get, is you have to do this analysis in absolute terms. This, by absolute, I mean absolute temperatures. You can't – the ratio isn't Fahrenheit to Fahrenheit. There's another scale called the Rankine scale.
Oh, sure.
And Roger.
Anyway, so
– I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
It's degrees Fahrenheit above absolute zero.
Oh, okay.
So absolute zero is when all molecular motion stops.
Obviously.
Well, but it's scientifically of great interest. If you ever have been in a room that has an air conditioner, or if you've ever eaten food that was in a refrigerator.
Right.
It's important to do the calculations to design the thing in absolute temperatures. And so it's very easy to kind of forget that. So there was a Scottish guy named Rankine. They gave him a scale.
Are we still talking about New England and
yeah.
Deflategate? Okay.
So when you do that analysis, just using ideal gas law, PV equals NRT, you got to use, the T's got to be an absolute temperature.
Come on, Kevin, keep up. It's pretty
well,
clear
it's
what's
that.
Happening here.
It's just that
P is greater than R plus T. Everyone gets
somebody
that.
Was deflating the balls.
I mean, there was that.
And that was nominally in a sense of reading English sentences, words against the rules.
I mean,
but
the
New English people just cannot let go.
I think we're going to have to side with Bill.
I think we have to move on.
All that aside, we started down something else. Yeah, one's opinion isn't the same as science. And
okay, but let me ask you this, Bill. But it sort of feels like it's going that way. It's
got
to kill you.
Well, it won't last.
Okay.
Because you can't remain economically competitive if you ignore the science. This is to say, if you pretend... Well, I'll design my refrigerators without regard to absolute temperature scales. Your refrigerators won't work, and nobody will buy them. By way of example.
So the truth wins out ultimately.
Well, eventually.
Eventually.
Yes.
Okay.
And Bill predicts that when these young people, these kids today,
did
these
you just
young
refer
people,
to yourself as Bill? He did.
Yes.
Okay.
I predict that when the young people come of age, these people who are, for example, and it was a tragedy, don't get me wrong, but you look at the young people who at Stoneman Douglas High School. When people like that start voting, things are going to change really fast. When young people outnumber the old people.
You saw them organize so quickly and make such a big difference.
So effectively, yes.
And that's only by example. All this anti-science thing, it will go away really fast.
I wanted to ask you something, Bill, because I am now in love with your Bill Nye Saves the World show on Netflix.
Oh, turn it up loud.
I love it. I'm telling you, I couldn't believe how great the segments were and how great your correspondents were. But
wow.
the one thing that I noticed was...
But there's just
slow it down a bit.
So
what's his
many...
name? Just
Bean?
No.
Michael Ian Black?
No,
I don't know who you're trying to think of. Somebody on your show.
No.
Two words.
Columbo.
Columbo.
Peter Falk.
Just one more thing.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Here's my question for you, though. I noticed that not just the occasional, but the majority of the scientists that you have on your program, on the panel, they're making demonstrations, are women.
Oh, I thought you were going to say hot, because a lot of them are super
attractive.
Oh,
a lot
attractive.
Of them are very attractive also, but okay. That's not my point.
Yeah, Bean wasn't going to bring that up.
My point is, though, is that representative of science in this country now, that so many more women are going into the field than men?
Well, there's a lot of women scientists, especially young people who are half my age, because they're able to enter the workforce, and so science is so satisfying and happy.
And that's very different from when you were coming up, though, where there were very few women in the field, in the STEM fields,
right?
Well,
when I was in engineering school, there were very few women in my class, but those were the bad old days. No,
yeah.
It's good. So I say all the time, half the people are girls and women, so let's have half the engineers and scientists be women. What's the big
right.
deal? Bring it on. So half the doctors are women. I mean, let's go. Let's go. Let's get her done.
Yeah, I hear there's more women in medical school than men. I hear that. That's
reasonable. You know, women are outpacing men in college at graduation and so on. So we'll see. I remember. Let's go way back.
Bill remembers.
My great-grandmother.
Yes.
Well said. Great-grandmother marched in the suffragette parade in 1913.
Wow.
Wow.
My mother marched in one of the Equal Rights Amendment parades in Washington in this hot, very hot summer. She said she threw her bra in the fire and burned it.
Nice.
By the time I got home, there was no evidence of that.
Do you want to hear that from your mom?
Well, she was important to her, and I remember very well her slamming the phone down and using the D word.
Whoa!
Which for my mother was quite a step, because she could not get an American Express card, even though she, at that point, had a master's degree, because she was Mrs. Nye.
Wow.
Her credit didn't matter. It was only that she was married.
Wasn't
that
she
was
also
1973.
Like a Navy code breaker or something?
Yes,
wasn't
yeah.
She?
So another thing was, she went to Goucher College, which is back east. It used to be in the city of Baltimore, and back when we had such things, it was the sister school to Johns Hopkins. Now it's co-ed. They let boys in. It's gone to hell. But
we've come a long way.
That's right.
And that's why we have a female president today, because of the progress that we've made.
So we won the popular vote. Yes.
Okay, hold it right there, Bill, because we got to take a quick break.
Whoa, we're taking a break at this moment of moments. We're about to break the Nazi Enigma code, but no, let's pause for this message.
Bill Nye is here in studio with us.
He is a New York Times bestselling author many times over. And how many Emmys have your various TV shows won throughout the years, Bill?
Well, the old show won 19 Emmys. I won 7.
Okay. All right.
But I was the head writer, so we writers won.
Do you contribute to Neil deGrasse Tyson's Star Talk? Are you part of that?
Yes.
Club too?
I'm a guest host. Person.
So you guys are not mortal enemies.
No. I go to his place for Thanksgiving.
He talks about it a lot on the show. He talks about him being his friend.
I only do that on Thanksgiving.
I just wondered if there was any kind of rivalry, because you two.
Oh, there's a rivalry.
Sure.
Oh,
okay.
Because
you're the bright lights of science, right?
That's
now.
Right. Just to answer the next question, Neil could break me in half.
Let me scratch off that question.
He's a wrestler. He still lifts weights, and however, I can outrun him.
Okay.
Were either of you invited to Dr. Stephen Hawking's funeral?
No. But we both met him. I wasn't. I don't. Neil may have been, but I met him back in 2005. I guess we gave him the Cosmos Award, and he was very cool. You know, he was very funny. He was very dry. It's this thing that we all wish we could do. He would not waste his words.
I think the level of science that he talked about was beyond the understanding of most of us. He left me confused every time I heard, tried.
And well, I know, I mean, when he says a brief history of time, what kind of sentence is that? It's brilliant.
I mean, I know that was his point, was to try to dumb it down for even
He's trying to engage you. We don't like just a
but dumb it down is what those of us that are on the other end of it.
If he doesn't dumb it down,
I can't grasp it.
Bill, the average person, I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's just me and I'm a dummy, will never understand a black hole, for instance.
Yes, you will.
I don't. I still don't know what that is.
Okay,
do
you accept that you and the Earth have mutual gravity, and that's why when you jump up, you come back down?
Certainly.
All right. Can you imagine that light is pure energy, and gravity is somehow influences everything? And gravity, if you have enough of it, can make light bend. Can you imagine?
I'm going to say yes.
If you have enough gravity.
I think I'm still with you here. Gravity can make light bend, okay?
Yes, if you have to have a lot of gravity. But if you do, light will its path will bend, will curve.
Okay.
All right, now, a star glows because it's so massive. How massive is it? It crushes, its mutual gravity of its stuff crushes together with such force that the particles are fused very close together, and as they're fused, the forces that would keep them separate are released as pure energy, which we know is light and heat.
Okay.
So now imagine having so much stuff crushing together with so much that the light that would go and light and heat that would be emitted get bent right back into itself. Not even light can escape from a star that is so massive. We call it a black hole. A black hole is a star.
It is?
Of massive massiveness.
Oh, a black hole is a massiveness.
Yes.
Is that a scientific term?
Star is a scientific term. So is massive. And in English we make up words. Massiveness.
All right. I sort of followed that, Bill. Are there any scientific concepts that are real that other scientists understand that you don't? That
are you kidding? Struggle? The world is full of things I don't understand, especially when it gets into modern genetics. My goodness, these people rattle off their cytosine, adenine.
So there are people who talk way over your head.
Well, yes. Yes.
That's not an outrageous question.
Yes. No, I mean, if you're a specialist in fish ear bones, I mean, I don't know. You know, a friend of a guy I went to high school with.
If I run into another specialist on fish ear bones.
No, but you can infer a lot about the water temperature and the fish diet by looking at their ear bones under a scanning electron microscope. I don't have to tell you.
Right.
What is the most, in your opinion, what is the most exciting or promising field of science now where they are really, really doing amazing things and you can't wait to see what happens next?
Two seemingly divergent fields. The first one is genetics. This acronym CRISPR, everybody's hot for, palindromic gene repeats. So this is where you're going to be able to tune your genes so that your offsprings are don't have genetic diseases that you might have been, your family might have been.
Ahead of conception, you can do that?
That's what people are anticipating, yeah.
Okay,
and
wow.
And then after conception, then you can induce the cells to all take on this new piece of DNA that doesn't have the defect. This would be astonishing. It may be routine.
Wow.
But where does it stop?
Well, nobody knows
right now.
You're
just genetically modifying little humans.
People do that now, you know.
I'm not talking like a sperm and an egg from different people. I'm saying you're taking specific traits that you find.
Well, that's almost certainly going to be the future. And if you don't believe me.
Why do you not like that, Allie?
Because it's a creepy master race situation that I don't think we need.
Here's the thing. Have you ever known anybody who's colorblind?
Yes.
Was his life enriched by that?
Probably not.
Wouldn't it be better if he weren't colorblind?
Yes.
That's not the same as a master race of drone soldiers out to destroy the universe.
But is that possible?
just why would you do that? I was in an argument with a congressman. No joke, you guys. A congressman.
Same.
The other day about this idea where somebody's going to take drones, very inexpensive to produce, quadcopters, which, by the way, rely on extraordinary mathematics just to work. But once you get them working, you can reverse engineer. Anyway, so then you'd put explosives on these things. Facial recognition software flies around, finds you, and blows your head off. Okay. So the premise is, well, what if this master madman, Dr. No, James Bond villain, decided to build thousands of them and put them in MacArthur Park in L.A.
Right.
And wait for everybody to walk in and blow all their heads off one afternoon.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah. Why would the guy do that? What's in it for him?
Well, why do people go and shoot up a subway station or drive a car into a bunch of people on the street?
So that's what I asked him. Why doesn't everybody do that every day? It happens, but it happens way less than, let's say, a world war. It just happens way less than a nuclear weapon.
But I think people are just afraid of technology that could potentially kill a bunch of people getting into anybody's hands.
So, yes. So in the same way, we all agree that your neighbor cannot have even if he promises to be careful with it. He can't have even a small nuclear weapon.
Agreed.
We all agree on that.
I think that's fair, yeah.
Yeah. Then we just have to learn to agree that there's a line to be drawn somewhere else, too, with respect to drones with explosives on them.
Right.
And yes, and you could even make an argument that we could draw a line on how big the rifle or a semi-automatic weapon your neighbor could have.
Take it easy now.
We could work our way down. Heresy. We could work our way down. Your neighbor probably can have a sword, even a big sword, like Game of Thrones sword.
Sure.
And fireplace poker, for those of you of my age who watched Perry Mason or whatever. The guy is a fireplace
Now you're talking.
Poker.
Now you're talking my language.
But the nuclear weapon, even, say, whatever in English units, an 18-inch howitzer. He can't have that
either.
Yeah.
Right.
So we just got to find a place to draw the line. It's just that as people's quality of life improves, and I'm not kidding, I got a ride. You guys were talking about a car service recently. Mm-hmm. I got a ride from a guy from Kenya, and all his relatives have mobile phones back in Kenya. Everybody's got a mobile phone.
Perfect signals, too, I assume.
Because the technology has gotten so inexpensive and so common that everybody's quality of life is enhanced by having a mobile phone. They get their coffee prices over the phone, and so then they do business with coffee buyers that enrich our life here in the United States because everybody's quality of life is a little higher. So as everybody's quality of life gets higher, people are less motivated to become mass murderers. They're happier.
Technology can be a wonderful thing. All right, we have two things we need to do.
No, we're
real
on
fast.
The radio.
I know, but in our final
that's electric. That's,
in our final 2 minutes,
the kids with their electricity,
right? With the great Bill Nye, I want to squeeze in one call because Marissa is a teacher and has been very patiently holding. She just
wants
to say hi.
How's it going?
Hi, Bill. You have no idea how excited I am to talk to you.
I'm getting a sense, but I'm happy to speak with you also, Marissa. Go on.
I just want to tell you thank you for your videos. My students love them. I always use them when I'm about to start a unit. There is no videos out there like it.
I love you, man. Well, man, I put my heart and soul into that thing.
I know, especially the videos at the end. They're so amazing.
Good. There was controversy about whether or not we should have music videos, and looking back, I'm glad we do.
All right, Marissa, I'm glad you got a chance to say hi to Mr. Knight.
Hi, Marissa, my best year students. They're very fortunate to have you as a teacher. Turn it up loud.
Have a wonderful day. We love
what's the thing you love about your teacher or professor, your favorite teacher or professor? Their passion.
Their passion, yes. Mm-hmm.
Marissa
Absolutely.
Is passionate.
Yes, I
Loving
like it.
That.
And in school, you literally might have one teacher like that in 6 years, unfortunately.
Well,
but that person can change your life.
Yes, Mr. Lang, Mr. Morris.
Oh,
Bill,
Mr. Lang is the best.
Rushka.
Bill Nye Saves the World, currently airing on Netflix, or streaming, I guess would be more appropriate. And Bill's
streaming.
latest book is
service.
Called Lost in the Jungle, Jack and the Geniuses, available wherever books are sold. Before we go, 60 seconds with the great Bill Nye.
Yes.
All right. Quick question, quick answer. What were you like in high school?
The same, only more so.
What ingredients make the perfect pizza?
Spinach. Wheat, yeast, pecorino romano, salt and pepper, olive oil.
Have you ever had a weak moment where you said to yourself, science blows?
I've said to myself, algebra takes practice.
Okay. It's not the same? You're a Seattle Seahawks fan, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't they just hand the ball to Marshawn?
Oh, man.
All right. Well,
so the guy got carried away with college football style. I get it. Well, but these are professional athletes, superhumans. Well, give the guy the ball and we're done. But it's only a game.
All right, let me get this question in. While watching Bill Nye Saves the World on Netflix, did I or did I not see a guy doing sleight of hand card tricks for a monkey?
Yeah.
I did see that.
Yes.
Okay, cats or dogs?
Oh, you need both, but I mean, my friends are dogs.
What's up?
Because I can talk with them.
Because you can talk to dogs and they don't talk back?
No, they're expressive.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to put that in the win column for dogs.
Really, my only friends are dogs.
Oh, Bill.
Things just got sad.
No, they got wistful.
Thank you, sir. Hope we see you again soon, my friend.
Yes, thanks, you guys. Carry on. Let's go out there, everyone, and dare I say it. Save the world!
Hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We've been seeing a lot of you in this room lately.
I know. The listeners love it, guys.
By the way, we just asked Omar if he had any rules, and he said no, but I always followed the ones that you guys said.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Good for you.
I burned lightning last week. We went out to lunch, and he wanted a salad. I ordered a salad. He had to eat a burger. He was so miserable eating his burger.
You guys are the worst. Order what you want.
If somebody orders it before you, it's off the table.
Yep.
Nuts.
Omar is the co-host of the very popular B-Team podcast that you can get wherever you get the Kevin and Bean podcast, at KRock.com or Apple Podcasts or whatever. So it's he, and it's David King of Mexico, and it's Beer Mug, and it's a show about the show. Mm-hmm. They tell behind-the-scenes stories and the history of the Kevin and Bean show. How far into this are you, like 30 episodes or something? Right?
We just recorded episode 39 yesterday.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How about that? Yeah. And there's so much stuff on, I don't listen to it, but I understand there's so much stuff on the B-Team podcast that Kevin and I have no memory of doing.
Yeah, so Lightning was hoarding this hard drive with a bunch of old school Kevin Bean stuff from the early 90s that I've been going through. And last episode, episode 38, I found a bit where you guys called LaToya Jackson to talk about her country record from Nashville to you. And so, I was like, what?
Why did we do that?
It's an excellent question, and I have some audio that I want to present for you guys. And I think Michael Jackson had just married Lisa Marie Presley.
Oh, okay. So it was to ask questions about the Jackson family.
Exactly.
Okay. So what year are we thinking here, Omar?
I'm thinking 94-ish.
Okay.
Around there. And you guys weren't totally convinced that you guys should speak to LaToya, so you guys decide to, on the air, flip for it.
All right, let's flip. Seriously, let's flip.
Let's just call her.
Lightning, you have a coin?
I have a nickel right here.
You have a nickel?
All right,
let's flip.
Flip on whether to call LaToya or not?
Heads.
Well, first of all, Frank, our producer in the studio, are we going to get you in any kind of trouble? Who? What bridges are we burning here if we don't do the LaToya interview at all?
Well, LaToya,
she is pretty worthless. I'll grant Kevin she's pretty worthless.
Let's set this up. For the fine K-Rock listening audience, those of you who listen to this program, we think that LaToya Jackson, or at least this is Kevin speaking now, is a bag of hot air, has nothing to say, and the only reason she's famous is because she talks bad about her family.
I agree with that.
Oh, remember when she used to talk so badly about her family all the time?
All the time.
Ali, you remember that? Because you're looking at me like I'm a dick.
I'm just looking at you because that's your voice.
It's my voice.
Okay. I want to get me in on some of that action.
But why would we want to talk to her? Because she has nothing to say.
Heads, we'll call her. Tails, we won't.
All right, here we go.
Heads.
All right, best 3 out of 5. Best 3 out of 5.
Are we bypassing 2 out of 3 and going right to 3 out of 5?
Right to 3 out of 5.
Right.
Now,
what am I going to tell Jack Gordon?
No, that's your problem.
I dropped it there. What bridge are we burning if we...
We're not. We're burning the whole...
It's over that way.
So Jack Gordon...
You can't drop the coin.
All right.
What the hell are we doing?
I don't know. This is on the air, guys.
What? So we lost the coin and we're just crawling around on the ground?
That's what's happening, guys.
What? Why would anyone listen to this?
Again.
Heads again. That's two. You know, if you have to go through this much trouble to decide whether to even do the interview, you really shouldn't do the interview. Tails.
All right, go 2 to 1.
All right.
Come on.
This is it.
Tails.
Tails.
2 to 2, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, deciding.
Best 3 out of 5.
So it all comes down to this one right here.
Come on, like you flip the coin. Don't make me go away on vacation.
Heads!
On a weekend of vacation, have any talk to LaToya
Jackson. Looks like we're calling LaToya Jackson. How about a little canned heat while we're waiting?
Why
are we wasting this much time? We still haven't talked to LaToya.
Why aren't you going to canned heat?
Why?
Why'd we go to candy?
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that a song we were playing then?
I don't know. No, it's K-Rock.
I don't think so.
Guys, you're asking us questions about a bit we did 24 years
We've
ago.
Why do you think we would know this? So many bits. We don't remember most of this.
I don't remember
ever flipping for a guess. That's
isn't that
weird.
Crazy? Okay.
And not just flipping, best of five.
Yeah, well, being rightly pointed out, you're skipping right up over 2 out of 3. All right, let's continue.
So Jack Gordon, her husband manager, is also affiliated with John Wayne Bobbitt.
Oh, we don't want to burn the John Wayne Bobbitt bridge,
that's
man.
The connection.
There's a lot of these big bridges we don't want. Hello?
Okay. So that's how you guys got her. She was pimping out this country record. You put the feelers out because you wanted to talk to somebody in the Michael Jackson family.
Okay.
About the marriage. And you finally get LaToya Jackson on the phone.
LaToya Jackson.
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
We're good. Did we wake you up?
No, you didn't.
Okay. LaToya, have you ever heard of the band Canned Heat? They played Woodstock.
I'm afraid I haven't.
You sound just like their lead singer. I'm just noticing that today. You have the same voice as their lead singer.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, because we were listening to your CD From Nashville to You.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
No, we weren't, were we? No, we weren't listening to that CD. No. Why would we tell her that?
By the way, her voice doesn't even sound like a real person, does it?
It doesn't.
She always had that little child voice.
And she's pretty clueless.
Really?
And, yeah. And so Bean tells her that, hey, your CD not only has a country vibe, but it also has a little Las Vegas feel to it. And she disagrees, and you guys decide to put her on hold and talk behind her back.
Oh.
Okay, hold on, LaToya. Just a minute.
She doesn't sound... Can she hear us on hold?
No.
She doesn't sound like she knows what she's talking about. It's her album. How can she listen to this music and tell me it's not Vegas? How can she not know it's Vegas?
It's not country.
She knows less about her album than she knows about Michael.
Seriously, let's just end the conversation here and tell her thanks.
Well, let's just ask her about the Michael Jackson thing, though. I want to find out, you know, how she found out about it and stuff like that.
Now, my recollection is that we weren't supposed to ask her about the Jackson family.
That was probably what she wanted to do was promote her
country album.
Exactly.
Right?
And where do you guys go?
Do you talk with Michael now?
I haven't spoken to Michael in a long, long time.
How long is a long time? Since before the Geraldo show? Because I know you went on the Geraldo show, and it seemed to me like you were being rather unkind to your brother.
Oh, no. No, I wasn't being unkind to him at all.
Well, I mean, you were guessing that he was abusing children. And if that were me...
I don't think this is the issue or what we should be talking about, because that's, you know, we started the conversation off and then now we get on the family, and I thought we were talking about me and my record instead of him. But again, I'm not here to talk about my family. I want to put that behind me and I want to move forward.
Are you pretty much distancing yourself from the rest of the family?
So if you want to talk about them, you can call them and give them a call and talk to them.
Okay, thank you.
See you later.
Boom!
Why?
Wow!
Did you hang up for
yes!
I don't have time for that crap. Ladies and gentlemen, the exclusive LaToya Jackson interview.
Why?
Wow.
Why would we flip a coin?
I don't know, but I love it. I love that entire thing. We need. Hey, Dave, you have LaToya Jackson's number?
Nope.
LA and OC's Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. We are honored to have Jack White back in the HD Radio sound space here at K-Rock next Thursday. If you'd like to be there in person, we'll tell you how you can win your tickets in about 5 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. Jack White coming to town, you guys, and you can be there up close and personal. That is on the way. First, though, I love the CBS Evening News, Allie. We've talked about it before. I know that a lot of people don't need a newscast like that anymore in the age of the internet. But I enjoy it.
I enjoy Steve Hartman. All of his stories are some of my favorites.
Yes, he does a great job. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm not sure if this was a Steve Hartman story or not, but I did see Rishi Sharma's story on the CBS Evening News recently, and it blew me away. He is 20 years old, and he has essentially dedicated his life to this nonprofit that he runs called Heroes of the Second World War. He is on a mission to do in-depth filmed interviews with World War II combat veterans while they're still alive. Because let's face it, World War II ended like 70 years ago or something like that. So these guys are getting near the end, and we're losing a bunch of them every single day. And Rishi has taken it upon himself to get their stories down on tape. It's a fascinating story for such a young man. Again, only 20, and he joins us on the phone right now. Where are you, in Colorado, Rishi?
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me. Right now, I'm in Boulder, Colorado.
All right, Fab. Well, we appreciate you jumping on. We know how busy you are. I was so blown away by your story for so many different reasons, but why don't you tell me where the idea came from? Hey, I need to get some cameras and some microphones in front of these veterans.
Well, in all honesty, you know, ever since I was a little kid, I've always been interested, you know, in history and World War II. And
you know, I don't know what little boy, you know, didn't play Army and that kind of stuff. But for me, you know, my heroes weren't like sports celebrities or athletes or, you know, musicians. It was always the World War II combat veterans because they literally saved the world. So I used to, you know, read books about the war, and I started, you know, calling up the veterans who would be featured in these books. And it was such an amazing feeling to actually talk to this real-life hero who I just looked up on the internet and who got his phone number and read him the passage in a book about him and hear his thoughts about, you know, what happened. But if I wanted to get in touch with some kind of useless person like the Kardashians, I would have to go through like a million people. And I realized, you know, these heroes are all among us. So when I was in high school, I started riding my bike to the local nursing and senior homes to go meet with these veterans, because every single retirement community, which, you know, there's practically one in every city, they all have these World War II veterans. And I just I started interviewing them, and I loved it so much that I started ditching class to go do it, because I would learn more talking to them than I was in school. And when I graduated, I realized, you know, this is what I want to do. And I decided to not go to college or anything. And my mission is to meet and interview 2 to 3 World War II combat veterans a day till the last one passes away. And I've just been driving across the states doing that since. I've been to, like, I think 43 or 44 of the states now. Wow. I've done just over 850 interviews.
I'm sorry, how many interviews, Rishi?
Just over 850.
Oh, my
wow.
gosh.
It's unbelievable. And where did you grow up? What town did you grow up in?
Agoura Hills, California.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you were riding your bike, and then when you got your license, you started driving everything within a day's distance. And then at some point, you just hit the road and kind of made this your full-time thing, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it just got bigger and bigger. You know, at first, I was just, you know, riding my bike to go meet the veterans, and then the local paper did a story, and people started calling me, saying, you know, my dad's a World War II veteran, or, you know, my grandpa's a World War II veteran. And I just kind of kept expanding my radius, and I kept doing interviews in California, and then eventually the Associated Press picked up the story, and that went national, and that's what led to Steve Hartman and CBS folks doing a story, and that's what really propelled me, because a lot of people, you know, were willing to support me, and a lot of people told me about veterans all across the country.
Rishi, is it difficult to get these veterans to talk to you, because we've been told that they are, you know, they don't consider themselves heroes wrongly, and they sometimes are so modest that they don't like to talk about what they did during the war, and sometimes it's very painful for them to talk about what they did during the war. Do you have trouble getting them to open up to you?
Well, in all honesty, sir, it's kind of a myth. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, their grandpa or their father was like went through Saving Private Ryan. But in reality, you know, the combat veterans, you know, of the infantry, they're far and few in between. And a lot of people have support roles. And I think it's really that people don't ask. And they think that their, you know, family member doesn't want to talk about it. But a lot of the time, it just takes someone willing to sit down and be interested and ask the veterans about it. And they're more than willing. I've really never had a veteran, you know, completely say, no, I can't talk about it, it's too painful. Because it was like 75 years ago, you know, if they're going to talk about it,
now's
the time.
And what I love about this is you're filming all of these, and it's essentially living history, and you're giving copies of this to their family, so then they can pass it down from generation to generation, because these stories are eventually going to be lost if you don't do this.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's so important that these veterans get interviewed, you know, while we have the technology, you know. What's crazy to me is if a Civil War veteran came out of the grave, you know, all the news media would be begging him for an interview just for like 5 minutes of his time. And they'd be using the nicest cameras and the fanciest equipment, and they'd be on their knees begging. But what boggles my mind is we have that opportunity with the World War II veterans, who are undoubtedly way cooler. And people, you know, are taking selfies. And I mean, I just feel that we have the technology, we have the know-how, and we have the means. It's so easy to find the veterans nowadays. You know, it's so easy transportation-wise to go meet them that people could be using, you know, their iPhones and their cameras to actually, you know, as a tool to capture history so that 200 years from now,
people won't have to wonder what it was like for the World War II veterans. They'll understand what it's like to grow up in the Great Depression, you know, to lie about your age and go into the service because you wanted to fight, to see your friends getting killed around you, to have to go kill people, you know, after 3 or 4 years of that, then to come home and be told just to man up and move on, because post-traumatic stress wasn't diagnosed back then. Sure. You know, they thought you were, you know, being a coward if you were scared. And they just went on to lead incredible lives, you know. They That's right. literally created the pillars of our society.
We are talking to Rishi Sharma here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He's the founder of the Heroes of the Second World War, heroesofthesecondworldwar.org. What's the GoFundMe campaign about, Rishi? What are you raising money for?
Well, you know, the GoFundMe, it's really not as relevant anymore after the CBS piece did the story.
Okay.
And I was very fortunate that a lot of folks donated. But the reason I had raised the funds was to support me to drive across the country interviewing the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not old enough to rent a car, so I can't really fly anywhere and, you know, go do interviews. I have to drive everywhere. And I mean, that's just a really, that's pretty costly, just having to drive to every single state. And,
sure,
like, every
of course.
City.
Yeah, because you're only 20 years old. When's your birthday, Rishi?
October.
All right. You're doing, you've done more with your life before 21 than the rest of us listening to you have done in our whole lives. It's an unbelievably moving thing that you're doing. And on behalf of the America, we thank you for that. We thank you for putting in the work to do this. Is there, before I let you go, sir, is there a place that people can see or hear the interviews you've conducted?
Yeah, you know, what I would ask is, you know, if people can, you know, take the time and visit the nonprofit's website, Heroes, H-E-R-O-E-S, of the Second World War, all spelled out, .org. There are interviews on there, and there's also interviews on a YouTube channel called Heroes of the Second World War. But what I really would request is anyone listening, if you know, or you think you may know any World War II combat veterans, please reach out. My contact information is on the website. It's under Contact Us. I'm more than happy to try to get them interviewed. And even if you don't want me to interview them, please consider, you know, going and visit your grandpa, you know, today or tomorrow, or your father, and use your phone and just record them, because when they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
And this is really the time. And okay. I just,
if there's anyone listening from the History Channel, anyone from a production company, I would watch the hell out of this on television.
Over and over again.
Yeah,
right?
For real.
Reach out to this guy.
Yeah,
for sure.
Get in touch. Rishi, thank you for making time to jump on the Kevin DeBean Show today, and thank you for what you're doing. We really appreciate it, and you're inspiring a lot of people.
Well, I really appreciate you guys taking the time, and the last thing I'll say is just, whoever is listening, please realize, you know, as tough as life gets today, you know, it really pales in comparison to what these heroes went through so that we can have a chance at life. And if you meet a veteran, you know, from any war or any conflict, just please let them know that you're grateful for your freedom and that you have an opportunity to wake up in a house that's not bombed out, or that you can go up to anyone and you can say whatever you want without any fear of repercussion, or that you can dream about what you want to do with your life 30, 40 years down the road, because that's such a blessing. And real people, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids, you know, didn't give up their lives, but their lives were taken. And they never got an opportunity, you know, to really have kids or raise a family or
sure.
do what they wanted to do. So,
right on, Rishi.
The world.
Thanks again, man. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now. Well, we're a piece of crap.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, wow.
To live, right?
I'm just going to go ahead and kill myself today.
I wouldn't do that. But he brings up such a good point. They are all over the place.
Right.
Nursing homes, retirement centers. And you know what? They just want to talk.
Yeah. Exactly. That's great stuff. And we'll put up the link to Rishi's site on all of our Kevin DeBean social media as well. Mugs?
You all right?
I'm trying to sabotage the bit.
Like you sabotage your own life. Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Friday. We're going to ask you to text in a few minutes for Keep It 100 like we do, where you get to pick a song just after 9 a.m. So stand by for that. Allie's got more stuff to give away and what's happening coming up. But first, though, a few minutes ago, I hope you were listening, because we talked to a remarkable young man, a Southern California man named Rishi Sharma, and he has made it his life's mission to drive around the country, can't rent a car, can't fly someplace to rent a car because he's not 21 yet, he told us. But he's driving around the country, and he's interviewing World War II veterans while they're still alive. He knows that they are living, walking history. They've got a story to tell, and he wants to get it out on tape before we lose them all. And then Omar reminded us that Beer Mug was way ahead of his time in interviewing a World War II veteran. He's at the red carpet of what film, Muggs?
This was the first Captain America that came out. I believe it was like 2012.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Louis Zamperini is there, mm-hmm. who is not only a World War II veteran, he's one of the most famous World War II veterans of all, because they even made a movie about him called Unbroken. This is a guy who was an Olympic distance runner. He ran for the United States in the 1936 Berlin Olympics. He was a World War II bombardier whose plane crashed, and he spent like 3 months in the water, right? Like drifting through shark-infested waters before he finally gets picked up, and then he gets put into a Japanese prison camp where he is tortured and starved for 2 years. All right? They made a movie about this man's life. As awful as all that was, talking to Beer Mug on this red carpet must have felt worse.
Can I just, before we play it, for those listening, I have nothing but respect for every veteran of war.
Well, that shows absolutely. In this interview.
Yeah, oh. World War II especially. But I just want people to know that I wasn't trying to be a dick. I was trying to be funny, which I'm clearly not. Now, let's just listen.
Mr. Louis Zamperini, a veteran of World War II. How you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing great for my age.
Yeah, you look fantastic. I was surprised to hear that an actual World War II vet was at the Captain America world premiere. And let me ask you, besides, you know, getting a victorious win over the Axis powers, how was it like fighting with Captain America himself?
All right, stop right there, please. You can tell that you didn't have, and this is my favorite thing about Muggs when he does interviews, he starts a question and he has no idea how it's going to end.
I can hear
the wheels turning.
And by the way, no preparation on this, like I do. Mm-hmm. And so the publicist for Mr. Zamperini comes up and he says, would you like to interview a real-life World War II veteran?
Yeah.
Like, sure. Yeah, he's a track runner. He's in the Olympics. And yeah. I was like, absolutely, bring him by.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing anything about him.
Right.
Was your question really, what was it like fighting with Captain America? I mean, did you think that the movie was real and there was a Captain America that he served side by side with?
Of course not, Bean. I was just trying to, like I say, be clever and tie in the movie with the real life.
Okay. And what did you expect the 90-year-old man to come back with?
I don't know.
That's the other thing. I understand you weren't prepared to interview a veteran of World War II. But you understand that he was 95 years old at the time.
Yeah.
Why go with the complexities of the movie tie-in and the hypothetical?
Because I'm a dumbass.
Okay.
Let's hear what he said.
How was it like fighting with Captain America himself?
What was the question about?
Did you meet Steve Rogers himself?
I don't.
Captain America?
No, I don't think so, no.
That's all right. So, all right,
you doubled down on the concept, right? Which is, he obviously didn't get it. He was just lost, deer in the headlights. So you thought you'd drive it home by asking it again.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
All right.
So, Mr. Zamperini, tell me what it was like being imprisoned during World War II.
Okay, hold on real quick before he answers this question. This was a question I wanted to find out about. And it's probably touchy to ask a World War II veteran or any prisoner of war what it was like. I mean, you can obviously kind of guess what it was like, right?
But you're on the red carpet at a movie premiere. How deep and dark do you want to go with his time in a Japanese prison camp?
I mean, I clearly think I'm a legitimate journalist here, and that's what I was doing.
Right.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned during World War II.
To get 3 rice balls a day. And that's it. And they're subject to beatings almost on a daily basis.
That is amazing.
3 rice balls a day, subject to daily beatings. I mean, if you've seen the movie Unbroken, you see what he went through. And my response is, that is amazing.
Well, because Muggs loves rice.
I hate myself.
Hey, you guys. It's time for B-Mix's Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Penis a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
Yes.
This is going to be the easiest and fastest round of Bean Makes His Guess ever.
Oh, no.
And I'm not even lying about that.
Oh, no. That's always a bad sign.
Because it involves everyone's favorite band, possibly the biggest rock band in the world and one of the best, the Foo Fighters. It involves the Foo Fighters, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, tickets are going on sale this morning at 10 a.m. at caljamfest.com to see the band on October the 6th at the Glen Helen Regional Park and Festival Grounds. They're joined by all sorts of other great bands, Tenacious D, Garbage, Iggy Pop, and so much more. And I was fascinated on how big the Foo Fighters was, and I was looking yesterday on Spotify, and I want you to come up with, for me, with the 10 most streamed Foo Fighters songs on Spotify. The 10 most popular Foo Fighters songs on Spotify. They have dozens and dozens of great songs that we play here on K-Rock.
Okay.
What are the top 10? Unfortunately, that's the only ones they break down in order is 1 to 10. So if you come up with number 11, I won't know it. I only have the top 10. But let's just go around in order. Beer Mug, you're going to be playing this morning?
Yeah.
Allie McKay, you standing by?
Sure.
Kevin, you're at the head of the table. You get to go first. The most popular Foo Fighter song on Spotify with over 211 million streams.
All Star.
I am sorry. I am sorry. No, it is
what?
Not. It is not
number
All
11.
Star.
It's probably number 11.
I think you're thinking of Smash Mouth.
Oh,
but
right.
Excellent guess. Beer Bug, what say you, sir?
First song that came to mind was Everlong.
It has to be Everlong. 211 million plus streams for
that's
that song.
Crazy.
By the way. That's insane. Yes. Miss Allie McKay.
That There Goes My Hero one.
You're going to say. That is the number five, the fifth most popular Foo Fighters song with over 85 million streams. Kevin, comes around to you.
Song.
Ah, no, I'm sorry.
Come on.
Again, might have been just outside the top 10. I'm sorry, no thong song. Bugsy.
Monkey Wrench.
You say Monkey Wrench?
I say.
Number 8, 49 million plus streams. Did I say 8? I'm sorry. That's number, 8. Number 8. Miss Ellen McKay.
Run.
Ooh, what a great song.
That's a great song.
Run is number 9.
Yeah.
Over 43 million streams. All right, so far so good. Kevin, I'm looking at you.
My Humps.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Right?
I feel...
Because neither of you saw that one coming.
Wow. I'm starting to feel like you're not taking this seriously.
How dare you?
All right. Bugs, your turn.
Big Me?
No Big Me.
No?
We played that to death for many, many years there in K-Rock, but I guess it has fallen off a little bit as more and more songs have become more popular to replace it. All right. Not a bad guess, though.
I heard the elevator music version of that the other day.
It's a great story. Okay.
Allie.
Is someone getting the best of you?
Is someone getting the best?
Number 3. 165 million plus streams for Best of You by Foo Fighters. Chip, I'm going to need that tape as well.
Yep. Right?
Kevin, you're up.
Gangnam Style.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
Kevin's not playing.
No.
I'm playing.
So you've gotten number 1, you've gotten number 3, you've gotten number 5, you've gotten number 8, you've gotten number 9. Mugs, let's try to fill in some blanks before we run out of time.
All My Life.
How about All My Life?
Searching for something.
That is number 6 of the most popular Foo Fighters songs with over 77 million streams. Allie.
Times Like These.
No Times Like These. Good guess. But again, they have so many songs. All right, let's go around one more time. Kevin, this is your chance to get on the board.
Walk Like an Egyptian. Yes?
Mugs, your final guess.
Learn to Mother Effin' Fly.
That is number 4 with over 128 million streams for Foo Fighters. Allie, your final guess, please.
I'm just going to do a newer one. Sky is a Neighborhood.
Sky is a Neighborhood.
Sky is a Neighborhood.
That is number 10. Great song, too, by the way. 41 million streams. You guys did really, really well. In fact, I think you only missed two.
Was one of them The Pretender?
One of them was The Pretender at number two. So good. Great guess. And the only other one you missed was number seven. Number seven was their song, Walk. Man, you hear those back-to-back, and you realize why the Foo Fighters are such a great band, and that's going to be such a great night out there for Cal Jam. And we got tickets you can win on the program later on today, and they go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.